Good afternoon. I'm Tyler Danberg. It's decision day for five-star running back David Gabriel George. The 2027 class of second-ranked running back from the Baylor School in Tennessee will choose between Ohio State and Tennessee at 5:30. Soccer, Columbus Crew host New York City FC at 7:30 in their first game since World Cup break. Black and gold 10th in the East with 16 points. Baseball, Reds visit the Mariners at 3:40. Cincinnati's Brady Singer faces Seattle's Emerson Hancock. Reds 46-54, 5.5 games out of the wild card. Guardians host the Twins at 6:40. Bailey Overstarch for Minnesota against Lade Ciccone for Cleveland, which shares first place in the AL Central with Chicago at 54-48. This update is sponsored by Ramos Roofing. Request your free roof or exterior assessment today at RamosRoofingOhio.com. Ramos Roofing, reliable, local, built right. Later on Rothman and Ice, ESPN's Adam Schefter joins at 12:30 right here on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
It's time to add some spice to your nooner. Nooner. Funny. This is the place where big-time guests, bold opinions, and little cute doggies come together. This is Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus, the number one rated windows and doors in Columbus.
All righty, here we go. Rothman and Ice, welcome aboard. Anthony Rothman, Dave Bidlin today, and the loose cannon at the switches. Bids, good to see you, my man.
Great to see you, Anthony.
Got a nice show for you today. We'll have Shefty bottom of the hour, as we always do on a Wednesday. We'll get inside. Training camps are going to be starting very shortly here. I've got a lot to talk to him about. We've got our friend Jordan Najani from CBS Sports talking NFL with us top of the hour at 1 o'clock. You and I will get into a deep dive on the best and worst case scenario for the old Cincinnati Bengals. And we'll get into the pressure on a certain quarterback this year in college. But I do want to start with the sands through the hourglass and the days of our lives with LeBron James. This came out this morning. We thought there was a chance that it would be something would get announced early in the week. And then his agent, Rich Paul, came out with he's not going to be rushed. That's fine. He doesn't have to be rushed. I've said it like a broken record every day. The longer he lets this linger and it's not Cleveland, that's bad. It's just, if it's going to be Cleveland, wait as long as you want. That's fine. But if they're not the answer, I wouldn't do that to the city, to my own city. You've done it to them once. You did come back and deliver a title. They'll be forever grateful for that. But they now know they're in the mix. They've got a good team. They're on your, I guess, whatever list you want to say. They're on the short list. Maybe they're a favorite someday. Maybe they're not. He knows that. And I just think that he ought to really consider that part of it, not teasing Cav fan here if it's not going to be them. But then the Miami Heat did something really stupid. And who knows how this will affect anything, if at all, because we can go through the scenarios of this. So everybody's in anticipation. This is LeBron Watch 26, and he's got a free agent decision to make. And the Miami Heat's social media department sent, I guess, the social media into a frenzy last night, and one user noticed, I don't know who this was or how it happened, there was a video titled, quote, LeBron James Introductory Press Conference, July 27th, 2026, and it was posted by the Heat's YouTube account. The link to that thumbnail spread around like a brush fire on Twitter, X.
Twitter.
The conspiracies of the Heat mistakenly leaking James's decision to return to Miami also picked up steam, and the Heat simultaneously skyrocketed on the Poly Market and Kalshi, the prediction market platforms, as his next team. So now there's money involved. According to a Heat spokesperson, the LeBron James introductory press conference, July 27th, 2026, was mistakenly made public by the Heat social media department while preparing for the possibility of him eventually deciding to join the Heat. There is no current validity to any of this. So the question becomes, Bids, let's play this out. If it was completely a joke, not a joke, but if in hopes of landing him, would they have put that out intentionally? Like, let's take them at their word. It was a mistake. How hard and how long does it take to come up with a press release? Not very long. Like, why would there be any preparatory need?
There really isn't a need to answer your question, but like I deal with this a little bit during the day job with Bucknuts, because if there's going to be like a big announcement today for recruiting, like David Gabriel George's, we will have a story already written in the admin. Sometimes we know exactly what's going to happen, and sometimes we just have one in there in case it happens. So I think it's one of the two things. I don't think they did it on purpose. I think this is the lesser of the two possibilities, this next one. It's either they know he's coming, exact date, and they know it's happening, and they were getting ready for it, and they accidentally put it out there, or there's a possibility. I think that's the most reasonable, is there's a possibility. They know he's, as you mentioned, that they're on his short list. And maybe, I don't know, when I first saw that, Anthony, I was like, oh, wow, like maybe there is something that they know. This is more than just a hope. But I think it's one of those two things. I don't think they did it on purpose. I guess anything's possible in the world, though.
Why would LeBron's team give them a six-day lead? I don't think it's right. I think it's all based on their hope. Now, the danger of it is that could this turn him off? Why, like, if he had already picked the Heat.
That's a good point.
So let's go the other way.
Yeah.
Let's go the other way that it is true, that there's enough in the inner circle that Pat Riley's told somebody who told somebody, and somebody in the social media department's going to lose their job today, perhaps over this, for hitting send on that and putting it out there, or, I don't know, whatever mistake, however you would categorize it, maybe they could walk it back, the job. But why would he give them a week ahead of time?
Only thing I can think of is so they can get like the celebration going, but that's a long time though. They could get that going in 1 or 2 days if they needed to. It's the Miami Heat. Hopefully don't do the not one, not two, not three, not four, not five. And he's got, you know, I mean, he reveres Pat Riley. I think he does now.
I think they're back now.
Yeah, I think they are. Yeah. It could have been a respect thing, but I don't think that that's what happened. Mm-hmm. I don't think that they know he's going to announce it on the 27th and he's coming there. But I tell you what, I'm not ruling it out either. It definitely is interesting, which is why we're leading off the show talking about it. It's highly interesting. And my first reaction, and they always told us in school, right, with the standardized test, go with your first reaction. My first reaction was, looks like he's going to Miami to join Giannis and Bam. But like now, the more I think about it, if I had to bet, I would think that it was just an accident.
If it was always Miami, then this isn't going to be where he would do an about face because somebody leaked it. Like if this eventually is Miami, then maybe we could all just say, well, I guess they probably had a pretty good feeling that it was going to happen and they put it out there prematurely. If it was never going to happen, it's going to make them look really stupid. Like, what way to go? Like right. That's right. Like if I'm Pat Riley, I guess I'm not thinking, well, we're going to be hurt in LeBron's eyes now by tipping this.
Let me ask you this. This is like just kind of switch gears a little bit, but still stay on the topic pretty much. What do you think is the best option for LeBron if he just wants to win a title? That's the number one thing, which I imagine it is. I'll answer my own question. I think it might be Philly, depending on Embiid's health, that which is always a situation. But with Maxey there, he's turned into a star. I think Edgecombe's going to be eventually a star, maybe is already. I think Philly might be his best option of the teams on his short list. I would like to see him go to Cleveland. And I'm not even a Cavs fan. I've never been a Cavs hater. I'm a Bulls fan. But I've always liked the Cavs. I was rooting for them 10 years ago when they won the title with LeBron. I think it would be really cool if he came back. And they've got a very good team, too. You add LeBron to that team. I mean, they were already a problem. I know they lost. They got swept by the Knicks. But the Knicks were on a heater, as we all know, in the playoffs. I'm hoping it's Cleveland. But I think Philly might be his best option, but I know
on paper it seems absolutely incredible. I think you're on the case there. It's a lineup that checks everything.
I know, and then you add LeBron to that, and he knows at this stage he wherever he goes, he's not going to be the main guy. And he wasn't even this past season in LA, so at least he has a year now of knowing like LeBron's now not the main guy. Like Luka obviously was this last year in LA, and you know the Cavs have a good roster. Man, it's interesting. I bet he'll pick Miami, not just because of that tweet, just because, okay, so far he's played for his hometown team. Then he went to Miami, back to his hometown team, L.A. So I think it's either going to be Miami or Cleveland if I had to bet. But if you're just going by what could give him the best chance at winning, I'm going to go with the Sixers.
Cavs are close.
They are.
you avoid the West. I mean, you still got to deal with New York. But the big issue with the Heat now is that outside of Giannis and Bam, they don't really have a ton of depth to really make that roster go completely.
Yeah.
For 82 plus a playoff run.
Right.
So guaranteeing a championship is difficult anywhere, let alone, I think, in Miami right now. If he thinks he's got 2 to 3 years left, and then who knows how good he'd be in the year three, then I think pairing Giannis and Bam is pretty solid, and then adding LeBron is pretty awesome, but I don't know if they're close to being the best team in the East by him going there.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. They would be closer, but we're talking about, and LeBron's still very good, and it's awesome that this age, at 41, do I have that right? Is he 42? 41, I think, is still the hottest topic in the NBA, and he's still, everybody's wondering, where's LeBron going to go? Like, 10 years ago, I'd been like, LeBron's going to be retired by this age. No. And it's not just he's like holding on, you know, and then a shell of his former self. He's still really good. So,
well, that's important.
Very intrigued.
Yeah.
I mean, even Jordan, when he came back with the Wizards those 2 years, he was still good.
Not as bad as people think.
Right. He wasn't like, he wasn't Jordan, but he wasn't terrible. But LeBron is still playing at a reasonably high level. So very intrigued what's going to happen. My guess is Miami, but I think Philly would be his best chance of winning.
I think that if you're a Cavs fan and you saw this, you're 50-50 on that now. You're at the point where, boy, I hope Miami didn't, or I hope Miami just soured the whole thing in his eyes, but that's not a reason to do an about face.
That would be funny.
That would not be a reason for LeBron to say, well, you stole my thunder, so I'm not coming.
Especially if it was some junior staffer, like you're saying, some assistant, like media relations person or social media person making like $50,000 a year, and LeBron decides not to go to Miami because of that person.
Wow, an assistant in a social media department gets paid $50,000.
I mean,
sign up for that.
It's the NBA.
Okay,
I know. I mean, maybe they're not.
It's not bad.
I mean, Miami. That's not even that much money.
That's right. They pay you with sunshine, and palm trees, and jet skis.
That's gonna go fast in Miami. AR. $50,000 in Miami, that can be a weekend.
Well, you're not going to be living near Ocean Drive, that's for sure. All right, we'll keep you up to date on that. And we take a break and come back with this. The competition, how real is it to anybody outside of Ohio? We'll tell you next, Rothman Nation.
Buckeye Replay this summer takes you back to some of the greatest comebacks in Ohio State football history.
We go 85 yards through the heart of the South, Ohio State versus Alabama in the Sugar Bowl.
Hear Buckeye Replay this Saturday at 1 p.m. on The Fan.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We're looking good out there for the rest of the day. Plentiful sunshine. No real mugginess and high temperatures in the mid-70s. Looks like the coolest afternoon we've had in about a month. For tomorrow, we start off in the mid-50s with a mostly clear sky. Mostly sunny skies into the afternoon with highs in the upper 70s. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
There's nothing Bo Bishop can't do well, except find competent co-hosts. Bishop and Friends.
Weekdays from 9 to noon.
The Fan.
What's up, knuckleheads? You're listening to Rothman and Ice on The Fan. It's not terrible.
I'm convinced that nobody cares about Deshaun versus Shadur outside of Ohio. It's not moving the needle. They'll talk about it, and maybe once they get into camp and we get a little bit of a battle going on, maybe it'll filter its way to national talk and all that. But I think it's a blip for a lot of people. And it's weird because I think there probably is a true battle to this. And my reasoning for saying this is because ESPN, I felt like they forced themselves to talk about it the other day. And it was Chris Canty and Stephen A. And they were talking about whether Deshaun could kind of stave off Shadur for the starting job, and whether or not money should lead the way. And I've always been on this conversation about how this is a massive conundrum for Cleveland, and that how good does Deshaun have to look this year for them to reinvest tens of millions of dollars in a guy they already have? And where's the fan base on it? Not that they're making the decision. And if Deshaun is good, and presumably if he's healthy and he gets through the season and he's got a future, he's not old, then maybe they would have a tough decision to make. But they're giving him a platform is my point. If they're giving Deshaun a platform and he plays well, he could easily tell Cleveland, I'm done. I've got another job. I'm going here. if he gets paid more money. And then is Cleveland really going to get into a bidding war for Deshaun Watson? So my contention has always been playing him is a little risky. You might stunt a year of growth for Shadur. You think a little bit of him, and that would shelve him a little bit. Or they can do what I think they're going to do, and this is going to be a combo platter this year. Whoever starts doesn't mean they're finishing, and the season's not going to be double-digit wins anyway, so both quarterbacks should play. But we've talked a lot about it. And the only reason I'm going to play this, or TLC will play it, is because I felt like somebody forced them to talk about this. Like, it just had that feeling. And somebody that does this every day, I could just feel the lack of energy in their conversation. So is this a continuous thing, or just Canty? And then,
first of all, false start on my end. And then, no, it's continuous. So it'll be Canty into Stephen A.
All right, you be the judge on whether they feel like this even matters in the NFL this year.
Is a make or break year for Shadur Sanders?
I believe it is, because the Cleveland Browns are having eyes toward the quarterback class of 2027 coming out of the college ranks. And if Shadur doesn't show and prove this year, then it's going to be an issue for him in terms of his chances of being the long-term starter in Cleveland. Now, when it comes to the overall competition, the tie should go to Shadur. Remember, Todd Monken said he wanted to have it settled after minicamp. It didn't work out that way. So if it's close between Deshaun and Shadur, it should go to Shadur. But we'll have to see how things play out in training camp.
S.A.
Well, one could easily argue it should go to Deshaun if it's close, because they're paying him so much damn money. The other thing that I would say is this. New coach, first-time head coach, and a first-time offensive coordinator, Travis Switzer, I think his name is, first-time coordinator. Shadur being in this situation with novices, you know, in those leadership roles concerns me, CeCe, but I believe in Shadur. I believe in his ability and his ability. So we'll see what happens.
I've never heard Stephen A. in all the time I've watched him and listened to him say, "We'll see what happens."
You're right. He did not seem too enthusiastic
time will
about
tell.
It. I bet that was a producer telling them,
we'll
hey, why don't
happens.
You guys talk about this today?
Yeah,
we're a little low on topics. And you nailed something. I was going to say this, and you nailed it. Like, I think a big reason this is not a national story, a big national story amongst NFL fans and media, is because I think most NFL fans and media outside of Ohio don't think it matters at all.
They won't impact the season.
Regardless, right. And to the Browns fans, it matters. And to all of us who follow, you know, football in Ohio, it matters, because it matters for future seasons. But just for this year, NFL fans probably look at it, it's like they're going to be bad either way. And the second point I'll make is I fall on the side of just, I know they're going to keep Deshaun this year, but I think you've got to find out what you have in Shadur. I'm very skeptical that he's the answer, but I would want to know 100%, because I'm definitely, if I'm the Browns, I'm moving on from Deshaun 100% after this year, no matter what. And maybe even try and trade him if somebody's willing to give you something before the deadline this year if he is playing, and he is playing well. I want to know exactly what I have in Shadur, because right now, with all the draft capital they have, even if they don't completely tank Anthony and get the number one pick or the number two pick, they have enough capital to trade up. Now, there could be a team that gets the number one pick that says, no matter what, we love this quarterback, we're not moving off of him. You need to know what you have in Shadur, in my opinion. That way, you know whether or not you need to go all in on a quarterback in the 2027 draft. So that would be my rationale. You've already traded Myles Garrett. I also would have traded Denzel Ward. I mean, if you're going to trade Myles Garrett, trade Denzel Ward. Keep loading up on these future assets. They did a great job with the draft last year, as we all know. A great job with the draft. So the future could be bright. They've got to find their quarterback, which I know that's a massive problem in Cleveland. They've really only had Baker Mayfield since they've been back that's been a good quarterback since they came back in 1999. I would find out what I have in Shadur, and then if you're skeptical after the season, go get your quarterback in the draft.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I'm not telling you that they have to make Cleveland the lead all the time. They don't. This is a franchise that, you said, came back in 99 that they've had 40-plus different starting quarterbacks. 40 or whatever they've had.
The uniform is so funny that they have the jersey that has, like, that had the initial quarterback.
The names.
Oh, it would have been Tim Couch. It would have been Tim Couch. Yeah. And then, like, that's crossed off, then has, like, all the names of all the quarterbacks that have started for the Browns. It's pretty funny.
But there is some impact here. And I'm surprised, because it is Shadur Sanders, and he moves the needle on name alone. He's a polarizing guy already. Things he said, He's tried to walk him back a little bit, came in with a lot of confidence, borderline cockiness, just like his dad. But now he's got to live up to some hype. And the other thing, the Browns are very fortunate, is that they're never losing fans. They're not going to lose fans. That franchise will not lose fans.
They're a loyal fan base.
They may say they will. They won't watch. I'm done. They're not. They're not jumping ship to Cincinnati. They're in.
Heck no.
The generational stuff is dug in, and it's there. And if you were born under that bad star or whatever it is, you are locked in. And I think this moving to Brook Park, I'm with you. Everything should be about loading up for that. And they didn't spend a lot on Shador to get him. Now, if they feel they've got a second act with Deshaun and they can rescue, because it is the most important position, and if he's still pretty talented and stays healthy, then I think this will be a real argument at the end, but I think it's a risk.
It's a football town. There's no doubt about it. And they love their baseball up there. They love their basketball, but it's a football town. I'll never forget, Anthony, I'm sure you remember this as well, when they got the team ripped away from them in 96, they basically rioted in the streets of Cleveland. Not really rioted, but they had a Save the Browns, you know, gathering, and like everybody in Cleveland showed up. It was like almost as many people as ended up showing up for the NBA championship parade when the Cavs won it. And then that same year, I believe it was the same year, the Houston Oilers lost their team, and they had to save the Oilers situation, much like the Browns had to save the Browns. And it was like, comparatively speaking, it was so embarrassing. I mean, there was like maybe 50, 75 Oilers fans that showed up. There were thousands upon thousands of Browns fans that showed up. So that is a loyal fan base. If they ever get to the point where they're like a consistent winner, look out, because their fans don't go anywhere, to your point, even when they're bad. So we'll see. I have a feeling, as a Bengal fan, I don't necessarily want this, but I have a feeling the Browns in a few years are going to be a big problem because of this past draft class they had. I like their draft this year. They just got to get that quarterback, and I know that's hard to do.
So that's why they're going to try to play Deshaun, to see if they have something there. But I'm telling you, I'll say it again, there's a risk in reinvesting in him, and there's also a risk in giving him a platform. Now, you're right. If they could trade him some point during the season, somebody loses a quarterback, he's been playing well, and then all of a sudden you go all in. I mean, they've got 11 picks in 27, including two first-rounders. And if you needed any evidence of where their mindset is, they said they were not going to trade Myles Garrett, and they did. Right. Now, he certainly probably forced their hand, but they didn't have to, and they did.
And they got a good deal.
And they did, and they told you that, because most franchises would be like, well, we still got to sell season tickets. We got to have something to offer our fans. Like, we're in the competition business, and that's why we're going to keep Denzel Ward, and we're going to keep some pieces. But for the most part, they're in a position now where they're building for Brook Park. I fully believe it. Now, could they luck into six game wins this year? Maybe, if the quarterback plays decent.
The worst thing for the Browns this year would be go to like 8-9. You know, I would tank. And obviously you have a first year head coach. He's not going to try and lose. So tank is a strong word. But like, the worst thing that could happen is them go like 8-9. I want the highest draft pick possible. And they do have a lot of capital, so they can move up, like I said. But man, I think the best thing for the Browns is like see their young players progress and go like 4-13 and get a high draft pick.
We will float Shefty to 130. Is that the call? All right, so he's going to shift. That's fine. We'll shift him to 130. We'll come back and we'll stay with a former AFC North coach. John Harbaugh not doing cartwheels over Scadabo's backflip. You'll hear it next. Rothman engaged.
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Anthony sometimes likes to sit and stare at his bundle of Emmy awards. Unfortunately, it's through the glass of the pawn shop. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
This is all about playing results, and I get it. You can't crush him because he didn't get injured. But he could give you kind of a snarky reaction that would make you think he's not happy about it. So John Harbaugh saw his running back, Cam Scadabo. Is it Scadabo or Scadaboo? How are they pronouncing it now?
Boo.
They're going boo. All right. Boo Cam Radley. Scadaboo. After his little backflip haywire, it wasn't horrible. It's not like he hit his head and got a concussion or came up limping, but this guy had a pretty, horrific ankle injury. And so he's at Fanatics, and I guess in his attempt to show that he's perfect now, he's been doing these backflips his whole life. It's routine for him, but it isn't till it isn't. I don't mind guys getting injured. I mean, I mind it, but I don't. You can't crush a guy for getting injured in practice. That's what it's about. Or you're training, or you're in the weight room, or you're jogging. Like, it's part of what you're doing. This has nothing to do with preparing to play football. Nothing. It'd be like him. Now, I'm not him, and I don't know his contract. Is he allowed to go water skiing in the summer? Can he do that stuff? I don't know.
They're showing it right now on the TV. That's funny.
So, and then he comes up with a woo, and I, you know, everything was fine. And so the reason John Harbaugh can smile about this is because he didn't get hurt. That's it. Because if he did get hurt or re-injured it, or they had to cover it, or somebody saw him limping, or he's in a boot now, like, then he can't comment on it. Then it's trouble. So this is all about results. And when he was asked about this viral moment now on the Believe in Giants podcast, this is what he had to say.
I wake up the other morning, my older sons are texting me. My buddies who are Giants fans are like, what's up with the backflip and Scataboo? What was your reaction when you saw that on your timeline?
Oh, my reaction when I saw it on my phone?
Yeah.
My reaction was I haven't talked to him yet. I'm going to talk to him, I'm sure. But my reaction was this, dude, at least stick it. You know what I mean? Land the thing if you're going to do it. You know, that was my first reaction. So, you know, Scat's going to be ready to go. And he's been working super hard. He's really been training like crazy, and his mind is on camp. You know, he's healthy, he's ready to roll, and I can't wait to see him out there at practice.
What a great reaction! I'm glad I can root for John Harbaugh now that he's not with the Ravens. Sorry, Matty Ice. And maybe Minter will be a really good coach, but I think losing Harbaugh is going to hurt the Ravens. We'll see how much, but I think that's a hilarious and a great reaction, but you're right. That would not have been even close to his reaction if it was like, Scataboo's out for the season.
Or we don't know if he's ready for camp. All. It just gave him a setback.
Right. Especially, as you said, coming off such a serious injury. It wasn't like he came off like a sprained ankle. It was a pretty gruesome injury.
He likes to put his players under a lot of pressure in camp. He's always been about that. He's always been about preseason. And so the fact that, I think what happens when you have a player like this with that mentality, it's tough to be mad because he knows what this guy's about. He knows his player. He knows the player, and that's it. I think this guy will give a lot of himself to the game.
And you have to be a little crazy to be like an NFL, like good NFL player, like a running
like
back.
Him.
I mean, like, seriously, yeah. I mean, and he was so much fun to watch in college too, like, as well. And then he slipped to, I believe, the fourth round. Yeah. A lot of people are kicking themselves who drafted running backs in the third or second round that year. Like, why did we pass on Scataboo?
He didn't play a lot of games his last season at ASU.
Am I thinking the previous year?
No, I think he had, I'll have to look it up.
They made the CFP.
Yeah, he was very good there, but I think total games of the season, he didn't play a ton. Maybe there was just a smaller sample size, but you're right.
Didn't he transfer in? I mean, not that year. I think he didn't play much the previous year. I think he might have been hurt. I think he transferred in from somewhere. And then he was kind of like a one-year one. But I think that he was tremendous that whole year. I mean, maybe he missed a couple games. I'm just forgetting it. But, I mean, Arizona State was picked like, I think their over-under for wins that year was like 4.5. And they go to the CFP. That was the same year, Anthony, your Indiana Hoosiers, the over-under for wins in 2024. 5.5, and I jumped all over. I didn't predict them to go 12 or 11-1 in the regular season. But I'm like, they're going to get to 6 wins. Took them all of 6 games to get there. But I also remember that Arizona State's their over under was 4.5, and Dillingham, they had their breakout season. I think Scataboo. Are you looking up the stats?
Sacramento State is where he was.
Sacramento State. There you go. I thought he transferred, I think he only had one monster year at Arizona State in 2024. Maybe that's what it was.
Well,
maybe he was a flash in the pan and one hit wonder. Because for him to slip to the fourth round,
I'm going to try to see how many games he actually played that year.
My hotspot was working up.
He was fifth in the voting for the Heisman.
See, there you go.
Maybe you're right. Maybe I just had, I don't know, where did I have the 8 games? I thought he
maybe the previous year?
Maybe it was the previous year.
So I think he was at Arizona State for 2 years after he transferred in. But I think he didn't really do much in 2023 because he was banged up. and then just exploded in 2024. And the entire year, guys, it's funny you guys were just saying, like, how's it pronounced? The entire year, I was a big fan of his, and I was butchering his name all year. I was calling him Scatabo. And we were having fun with it, like, on the Money with Scotty and I were saying stuff like, are you a Scatabro? We knew it was, I thought it was Scatabo, but we were like, are you a Scatabro? He's like, yes, I am a Scatabro. Just as a fun way of playing. So, yeah, I understand. I think that was pretty funny from John Harbaugh. I also think that was a great hire by the Giants. I think that was a great hire. I think probably not this year, but maybe this year, Jackson Dart in his second year. I think by next year, they're going to be a big problem.
It is a good hire.
He's a heck of a good coach.
I mean, it's one of those things that sometimes you just tap out. You hit the ceiling where he did. Just couldn't get him all the way. And you kind of, it's time for everybody to move on. It's weird when this happens, when a guy that accomplished, you know, is trying to win another one, and I just...
And they don't even tell him in person. Yeah. I thought that was a really bad look for an organization that, like, I don't like the Ravens, obviously, but I have a ton of respect for them. I was surprised they handled it that way. And it wasn't like, well, he's, you know, it was in Europe, and we didn't wait for him to get back. He was at the facility that day. He was at the facility that day, and they called him when he was on his way home to let him know, all right, we've decided. And they were talking about everything, but he thought he was going to stay on, and they called him to tell him after 18 years. You don't bring in a Super Bowl winning coach who's been there 18 years and tell him, even if he's on his way home and you're like, oh, we don't want to have him come back here. You have to do that in person, in my opinion. Like, I thought that was such a low rent move by an organization. And then they had the nonsense with, Max Crosby. I still think they were 100% lying about that. Oh, that he failed the physical. What happened was Trey Hendrickson's market wasn't nearly as high as what Trey Hendrickson thought. And they went to his agent, in my opinion, and said, what about this? Would you take this? And his agent said, yes. Then magically, Max Crosby's knee isn't ready. And they signed Trey Hendrickson for a more reasonable rate and didn't have to give up two first round picks. So a couple of things for the Ravens this offseason where they took a major hit as far as their reputation, in my opinion.
Yeah, the physical is subjective. It's their doctors, right? And they can certainly say that we weren't comfortable with it, but you're right. It seems too coincidental with having that deal also out there with Trey Hendrickson. But, you know, the other way to look at it is, could you fault them for a better opportunity presented itself? It's not great to do that to Max and what they did, but...
Yeah, if I'm a Ravens fan and it's a bottom line business, yeah, if you just take emotions out of it and all that, they did what's best for their team. So if you're a diehard Ravens fan, you're probably happy with it.
So this says that on January 6th, Bisciotti actually called Harbaugh to inform him that he was being let go.
Yeah, called him.
Said, I never dreamed of firing somebody by phone, but the reality is when I made my decision on Tuesday afternoon, I was home and he was in his car heading to his house. I thought it would kind of be a jerk move to say, hey, coach, meet me at the office in an hour. So I guess you could have gone to his house.
I think it's a jerk move to do it over the phone. And especially when you guys were in the facility earlier that day. It's not like you would have had to like,
tell you the timeline.
Oh,
on that,
you know, but I'm seeing like East Asia right now. It's going to be a while till I get back. Like, no, they were in the facility in Baltimore that same day, and he waits to call him when he's on his way home. Low rent. You have to do stuff like that in person, in my opinion.
I think, if possible. I think that the better move would have been to probably go to him.
Yes.
If you didn't do it in the facility that day, I agree with not calling him back to the office. And then drive
to him. Show him the respect to drive to his house and say, you've been great. You know, maybe it's time for us to go our separate ways. Maybe we'll both. And Harbaugh seems very happy with the Giants. He said that was his number one. When things fell apart with the Ravens, he thought the Giants, that was his number one. Now, what else is he going to say now? They were actually fifth on my list, but he seems very happy. I was not a fan of the way the Giants handled that, the Ravens handled that.
Yeah. It sounds like they're okay. I mean, it's whatever it is, it is. 18 years, I agree. That has to count for something, but hey, he delivered him a Super Bowl, and so did Billick, and so they got one out of each of their guys.
Billick never coached again. I never expected it. He was young, too. When he stepped away, I'm like, okay, he'll be back in a year. He'll take a year off. So surprised Billick never coached again.
We will come back, and we'll get into a little bit of the X factor for Ohio State. That's next, Rothman.com.
All your favorite fan shows are on YouTube.
Along with those fake YouTube ads like Chew This Gum and It Grows New Teeth.
Experience the splendor of Bose sitting in his closet, Timmy Hall's gaudy gold chains, and Matty Ice wearing a coat in 90-degree weather. It's all there. Head to YouTube and subscribe today. All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Like trying to snap a picture of Bigfoot.
Nobody has ever witnessed Maddie eating a carb. This is Rothman and Ice.
There'll be a lot of anticipation on what Ohio State brings to the table this year. There always is. And I think with Jeremiah Smith, everyone kind of... maybe it's one of those things that it doesn't really strike you about having the running mate secure right this moment. Like, because when you have him, it's just, it equals two guys almost. And coming off Carnell Tate's year, you always feel like there'll be somebody. And Chris Henry shows up in the spring game and wows people. How ready he'll be to take that on is anybody's guess, but it certainly has the skill. We know that. And then, so trying to find an X factor at receiver is fun this year outside of Jeremiah. Everyone would say it'd be Chris Henry. Like, if you held had a poll, I'm wrong, but I think Henry would maybe win the poll on who's going to be.
He probably would. Yeah. You're right. I think it's going to be Brandon Ennis, who I think we're going to hear from here in a moment. Devin McEwen is going to be in it. One thing I'll say, even if they don't have a true stud number two this year, there's strength in numbers, and I think they're really strong two through four or five, because you're going to have Brandon Ennis, Devin McEwen. You're going to have Chris Henry Jr., of course. Kyle Parker is going to be in the mix. Maybe even a Brock Boyd, but certainly those top five are going to be in the mix. I think two through five are pretty bunched together, and I think we're going to see Cortez Hankton, Anthony, rotate the receivers a little bit more than Hartline did.
Yeah, and the point is that a lot of those guys you named are not household names to people. And they're just not.
Right. McEwen was at UT San Antonio last year, and they really like him. And I tell you what, Dane Brugler does a pretty good job, really good job, I think, for The Athletic, the draft expert. He has McEwen, a fourth-year wide receiver, so not guys like Jeremiah Smith and all the studs that are entering their third year. Of the fourth-year wide receivers in college football, he has him ranked number 9, McEwen. He's got Ennis 15th, which is still really good, but he's got McEwen actually ranked ahead of Ennis. Chris Henry Jr., I think one thing that's a very important to point out to Buckeye fans, and Buckeye fans know this, but other than Jeremiah Smith and to an extent Garrett Wilson, all of these stud wide receivers that have come through here didn't really do much as true freshmen. Let's take Carnell Tate, for example. Mm-hmm. He was really good as a true freshman, caught 18 balls. 18 balls as a true freshman. He was good, had a ton of hype. In 2023, caught 18 passes. Marvin Harrison Jr. ended up being pretty good here. Barely played as a true freshman until the Rose Bowl. And the only reason he played a lot in the Rose Bowl is because Chris Olave, who also didn't play much as a true freshman until the end of the year, and Garrett Wilson both sat out the game. Emeka Egbuka didn't put up good stats as a true freshman. He ended up being a stud. He's the all-time leading receiver at Ohio State. So, and I could give other examples. So, do I think Chris Henry Jr. is only going to catch 18 balls? No, I think he's going to catch more than that. But I do think we need to temper the expectations a little bit for year one, because other than Jeremiah Smith, all of these stud receivers at Ohio State didn't really do much as true freshmen.
Ennis is, I mean, captain, incumbent starter, but he's got competition. He does, and he should be able to meet it. This is a former five-star himself. He's been around. He's experienced, and Jeremiah gets all the attention, but I love the fact that there's a rotation of guys that not many people have heard of. You talked about the two transfer guys potentially be a starting receiver in McEwen and Parker. And Henry, we know, we've already seen how gifted he is. Ennis did a, was this a one-on-one with our Adam King, 10 TV, the other day?
As far as I know. Okay. Although we did the Jalen McClain one, I think Austin Ward was a part of that. So maybe Austin was a part of this one too. I'm not sure.
All right, fire up some Brandon Ennis, because there could be a lot of X factors in the receiver room, but he might be the one.
Here's him talking about his new OC.
Yeah, it's been great. You know, always learning from different guys. You learn from Chip Kelly in the past, Coach Hart, and now Coach Smith. Just a guy that's been around the game for a long time. Is very smart. He comes in there and just adds a new mind that we didn't have in here for a long time, you know. And I feel like he brought that kind of NFL approach and that NFL proneness to our offense. And I feel like our offense is going to be unstoppable again.
That's the most underreported story of the offseason for Ohio State is the impact that Arthur Smith is going to have on this offense, comparatively speaking to what we saw last year with Brian Hartline, who I think was by far the best in the country, maybe ever, of recruiting wide receivers and developing them. But I thought he was over his head as an offensive coordinator. And we're going to find out soon enough. Some people are skeptical about Art Smith. I think he's going to have a big impact on this offense. And, you know, I think he's going to be a massive upgrade over what we saw from Brian Hartline. And it's twofold because now Ryan Day, as you know, Anthony, he's always going to be involved in the offense. That's his baby. But he can now take a mini step back and be more of a CEO like he was when he had Chip Kelly here. And I think Arthur Smith, I think that was a heck of a good hire for Ohio State. And it still baffles my mind that Ohio State's both of their coordinators are former NFL head coaches. It's crazy.
I think that Brandon Ennis's goal this year should just be to be nicknamed Mr. Dependable. Like, I think that's who he should want to be in this offense. Now, I did pick up on something, the last sentence of that soundbite. He said, I think we're going to be unstoppable again. They were stoppable, and they were stoppable when it counted against Indiana and against Miami. They weren't putting up 35, 40 points against those defenses.
Did he mean 2 years ago or last? Because they certainly were not unstoppable.
I think he said we're going to be unstoppable again, our offense.
But again, that could mean again like 2 years ago.
Okay, we can give him that if you want. I feel like it's more recent. I don't think he would just skip over last year, but maybe that is the case. But
hopefully he doesn't think they were unstoppable last year, given the way the last two games went. But he's a confident guy, yeah. Anthony. He said, and I'm glad
they're
he
talented.
Said this. Brandon came out and told us in spring, and he's a great young man. That's why he was a captain last year as a junior, mm-hmm. before ever starting a game at Ohio State. When does that happen? He came out and told us in the spring, he's like, my goal is to be a first-round pick. Now, do I think he's going to be a first-round pick? Heck no. But I'm glad he didn't come out and tell us, my goal is to be a fourth-round pick. You know, set your sights high. So, you know, but I'm with you. Mr. Dependable, I think that's completely on point, Anthony. Like, if he can be Mr. Dependable, whether he's the number two, number three, whatever it might be, that's what they need. They've got the best receiver in college football. They need guys that can, like, be a complement. They don't necessarily need to have, like, a Carnell Tate, although that would be great. But if Devin McEwen is very good, and Brandon Ennis is very good, and Kyle Parker and Chris Henry Jr. are all good. That's what Ohio State needs, and I think this offensive line is going to be much better. I think San is going to be better in year two, and he was good in year one. Bo Jackson's going to be better than what he was last year. I'll be very disappointed, even with this brutal schedule, if they're not considered a top five offense in college football, even with this brutal schedule, because they really have all the pieces, coaching, personnel, depth. I really like this offense.
It's brutal for the people that play them, too. Like,
They got to play us.
Right. I'm looking at Ohio State's schedule, you know, and
the Joe Burrow.
And you know, like, where I've always gone with this year is like, everyone's like, they look at Ohio State's schedule and it is tough, but I'm getting this feeling from people like, oh, good luck with that. Like
you got to go to at Iowa. Oh like, my gosh.
It's fine. They have a tough schedule. It should make them better this year. I think their problem last year was that maybe they didn't know how things were going to be when they faced teams that were really, really good. And they played Texas early in the year, but then they kind of, you know, they rolled most teams.
And teams that we thought were going to be good were not good. Nobody predicted things like James Franklin getting fired before Penn State even came to Columbus last year. It was just crazy. It looked like a tough schedule on paper, but you're right.
It helps them.
I totally agree. Now you could say, assuming they make the college football playoff, which we are assuming that, it will help them. It will help. Even if they're 10-2, they're a lock to get in with this schedule. There's a chance they could be 9-3 and get in, but I don't think you want to risk that. But they're going to be extremely battle tested. We think. You just never know. But I think with this schedule, even if one or two of these teams aren't what we think they're going to be, there's going to be enough on this schedule where they're going to be battle tested. And I only see four gimmies: the two MAC schools, Kent State and Ball State, Maryland, and Northwestern. And Northwestern, you know, I mean, they're picked to be like middle of the pack by like Phil Steele and some others. But those are the only four real gimmies that I see. Yeah. You could say, what about at Nebraska? I don't know if that's a gimme. I don't know if that's
a
gimme.
It's only with Michigan being the following week. That's all. That'd be the only reason you'd say
at Nebraska.
If they beat Oregon and roll Northwestern and they had no Michigan is coming the following week, you could maybe not play your best game at Nebraska. That'd be the only reason. But, yeah, it's a really tough schedule, and they got to make sure that they're – but if they are who people think they are, then I'm not saying they're going undefeated. Of course not. They've got to go to Texas. They got to go to Iowa. They got to go to Indiana. They're going to USC. They're playing Oregon at here. You know, they got the Michigan game. Like, Yeah, I'm just looking forward to finding out if this team will have the battle scars that they need going into the playoff this year that they didn't have last year. And that may be helpful to them. We'll come back top of the hour. Our friend Jordan Ajani, NFL for CBS Sports. We'll get into the big training camp stories. That's next. Rothman and I.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon, I'm Tyler Danberg. The Columbus crew return from World Cup break tonight, hosting New York City FC at 7:30. Columbus sits 10th in the East table with 16 points. Baseball, Reds visit the Mariners at 3:40, Cincinnati 46-54, 5.5 games out of the NL wild card. Guardians host the Twins at 6:40, Cleveland 54-48, tied for first in the AL Central with Chicago. Then the Columbus Clippers visit the St. Paul Saints at 2:07, Columbus 51-45, but 10-12 in the second half. College football recruiting, five-star running back David Gabriel George from the Baylor School in Tennessee will choose between Ohio State and Tennessee today at 5:30. He's the second-ranked running back in the 2027 class. This update sponsored by BMI Federal Credit Union. Take a vacation from high interest rates with special rates on balance transfers at BMI Federal Credit Union. BMIFCU.org/Visa.
Matty promises he'll continue to do the show even if he wins the lottery. If only we believed him. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
Second hour of the program. A lot of NFL talk with camps opening up. We'll do ins and outs this hour, but love starting the top of the hour with our friend Jordan Ajani, NFL reporter for CBS Sports. And he is on the Bryan Heating Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. JD, welcome back. How you been?
Yo, friends, what's going on? Hope you guys are doing well. Thanks for having me back on the show.
Thanks, brother. All right, so I want to find out if this makes sense. Everybody that's been asked about the field versus the Rams, they're trying to find a reason to take the field, and they can't. Like, I've heard people say, you know, if you're going to pin me to one team, I'm going to take the Rams, and then just watch the AFC beat themselves up all year. And are you in that camp, or would you be the, hey, something always will happen. I don't know what's going to happen, but something will that'll keep the Rams from winning the Super Bowl. Where are you?
Listen, it's annoying because whenever these Super Bowl odds drop right after the previous year's Super Bowl ends, I never agree with the favorites because the favorites are usually the team that just won the Super Bowl or the team that just went to the Super Bowl and lost the game. But this year, it's the Los Angeles Rams. And to be fair, I was picking the Rams before they made all these moves to acquire these guys on the defensive side of the ball like Myles Garrett. But yes, of course, if I had to pick a Super Bowl winner right now, I am leaning towards the Los Angeles Rams. But I can't bet it. It's at plus 550. There's no value in that. So yeah, if you're looking for a team maybe in the AFC to come out on top, right now I feel like I'm buying a lot of stock in the Cincinnati Bengals. I feel like it's kind of do or die time for Zach Taylor. You got a generational quarterback, you got a generational wide receiver. If something goes wrong this season, is Zach Taylor going to be coaching his final games in Cincinnati? So I'm looking at the Bengals with some of the additions they made on defense to potentially make the big game. Another team that I'm higher on that some people seem to be lower on this season might be the Buffalo Bills. They made the controversial decision to fire coach Sean McDermott. They promoted Joe Brady from offensive coordinator. That was a decision that surprised a lot of people. It did not surprise me. If you look into some of the numbers that Joe Brady did when he was promoted to full-time offensive coordinator, he's got a great relationship with Josh Allen. The Buffalo Bills understand the pressure that they're under. You bring in DJ Moore. Can he kind of resurrect his career, become a true number one wide receiver? So the Buffalo Bills at the AFC are another team I would consider.
You mentioned the Cincinnati Bengals, Jordan, and they had probably the most aggressive offseason I can ever remember them happening or having. Joe Burrow, of course, gave them a little warning shot saying, you know, we need to check a lot of boxes this offseason. But did that surprise you a little bit that the Bengals were so aggressive?
It did not, just because of the circumstances. So, you know, as I said, it's do or die for Zach Taylor. And after 2 years in a row of having one of the historically worst defenses in the NFL, I mean, you have to keep Joe Burrow happy. If I were Joe Burrow and they didn't make these moves, I'd be looking for an out. I'm a generational signal caller. I could win a Super Bowl with a different franchise that is going to be aggressive and actually support me. So to that degree, I wasn't too surprised. But to your point, the Bengals historically have not been this aggressive. So, you know, you lose Trey Hendrickson, you lose Joseph Asai, but you bring in an underrated pass rusher who I like in Boye Mafe, Brian Cook. Jonathan Allen. You traded for Dexter Lawrence. Then in the draft, you got the electric pass rusher Cassius Howell, Tekario Davis, a new center in Connor Lue. So that's why I'm kind of buying stock in the Bengals.
All right, their biggest competition, Baltimore, certainly in the division, and new stuff going on there, but they're always looked at as a team that will be there, but you can't count on in the end. But would you be taking Cincinnati to win the North or Baltimore?
I'm taking Cincinnati, just given off of everything I said. But Baltimore, of course, is going to be in the mix. They're a fascinating team. Definitely more of a question mark with the new coaching staff coming in with Jesse Minter, and you can understand why they hired him. I think the Ravens were the bottom 18 in scoring defense and total defense after ranking top 10 in each of the previous three seasons. But the headline is always your superstar quarterback, Lamar Jackson. And he obviously fell off when he was coming back from that hamstring injury. I think he only averaged like 20 rushing yards per game after returning from that injury, had just 12 total touchdowns in 9 games. So I think Declan Doyle is the new OC over there in Baltimore. It's going to be interesting to see how different this Ravens offense looks. Anytime you have an MVP caliber talent like Lamar Jackson under center, you're going to have a shot.
C.J. Stroud looked fantastic as a rookie in 2023, Jordan. It looked like he was going to be the next superstar quarterback in the NFL, or at least one of the future star quarterbacks. He's regressed a little bit since then, it seems like. Do you expect him to get things back on track this year?
Yeah, that's a great question, because it seems like most of the NFL world is low on C.J. Stroud. I know that basically anybody, if they were calling the shots in that playoff game against the New England Patriots, might have benched C.J. Stroud for Davis Mills, given that Davis Mills is one of the best backups in the NFL. Stroud was not getting the job done. I think he became the first player in NFL history to have 5 interceptions and 5 fumbles in a single postseason. And to your point, C.J. Stroud has regressed year after year ever since his historical rookie campaign. But I'm actually buying stock in this Houston Texans team right now and in C.J. Stroud, because not only do they have the best defense in the NFL, but now C.J. Stroud with his offensive coordinator has some continuity. The offensive line has been addressed. I'm not going to say completely revamped, but I think it might be better than it was in 2025. So it's time for C.J. Stroud to prove that he is worth top-of-market money, and I really do think he has the support system around him with an upgrade at running back in David Montgomery, a pretty solid wide receiving core, and again, the best defense in the NFL to really show what he's made of.
Jordan Ajani with us covering the NFL for CBS Sports. I really enjoyed your story about the potential offensive rookie of the year. Usually you have to attach that to a decent offense because, I mean, unless Arizona just decides to use Jeremiah Love all the time, no matter what happens. But who are some of the sleepers you like for some value for offensive rookie of the year this year?
Yeah, a lot of people are going to be betting on Jeremiah Love, Jordan Tyson. Jadarian Price of the Seahawks is a guy I like, but he's listed in the top 5 of shortest odds, so I can't necessarily call him a sleeper. But I really like Mekhi Lemon for the Philadelphia Eagles at plus 1,000. I think that's a really good fit with a new-look offense with Sean Mannion calling the shots at OC. It's going to be a lot more of that kind of Sean McVay passing attack. And I think Mekhi Lemon is one of these players who it's easier to draw touches for compared to a perimeter threat like A.J. Brown. So Mekhi Lemon could kind of be this security blanket for Jalen Hurts, who's looking to prove he's still one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. The other guy is Azan Stribling from the 49ers. This was a wide receiver that no one expected to go where he went in the draft. I think he was CBS Sports wide receiver 19 in this entire class. But the thing with him is that I trust John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, and you look at Stribling, the prospect, he's a big guy who possesses some speed, he doesn't really drop the football, and he joins one of the more high-powered passing attacks in the NFL. Now, looking at the depth chart, he obviously has some guys in front of him like Mike Evans and Christian Kirk and Ricky Pearsall, but all of those guys have dealt with injuries year after year over the past couple seasons. It seems like the 49ers have always had to ask a lot of Juwan Jennings and Kendrick Bourne to step up and carry the passing attack. That's where Stribling could potentially come in for San Francisco, and if he has that production with Brock Purdy, if he remains healthy, then Stribling could be a surprise name in that offensive rookie of the year race.
Good stuff, man. I really appreciated the story, and you've got them all listed there, so we'll direct people to your story at cbssports.com covering the NFL. Our friend Jordan Ajani, my man, be well. We'll talk again soon. You know that.
Hey, thanks so much, guys. Go Vols.
See you, brother. Yeah,
it's probably gonna be. It's gonna be a good day for his Vols, probably.
That's right. It'll be a good day for you if you go up to Marion and go to the McDaniel GM Superstore. They really do welcome you in as family. They have Maddie and I, and certainly once you walk through the door, which I did last weekend, and the experience I'm having is awesome. They have more than 200 new vehicles on their website, and they believe in transparency. You'll see every number, every car. You'll know what's going on. And if you really want to strike a deal, this is the time, because I could list them all for you. I'll pick out a few. The 2026 Silverado 1500, you could save up to 13 grand now off MSRP, or 0% APR for 60 months. Doesn't get any better than that. 2.9% for 72 months. Terms and restrictions apply. The Equinox LT, you can buy that for as low as $399 a month on a 26, or lease it for as low as $265 a month. Terms and restrictions apply on that, but it's not a long drive. They're so pleasant. It's one-stop shopping. They have the GM Superstore, and then a gap wedge away is the Toyota store. So take the time, do your research, and go to McDaniel GM Superstore. They're just off Route 23 North on 95, and you are there. Chevrolet, together, let's drive. We'll come back with ins and outs next. Rothman.
Common Man and Timmy are putting together a hangout at the radio station for a small amount of listeners. Pizza will be involved. Ping pong, too. Lots of inappropriate conversation. And don't forget, pin the tail on Teddy. Tell Man and Timmy why you're the perfect guest by emailing goodcleanboy@gmail.com.
Presented by Billiards Plus and sponsored by Paisano Peppers.
The event takes place Thursday, July 30th, and all email submissions must be in by July 27th. Enter today. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We're looking good out there for the rest of the day. Plentiful sunshine, no real mugginess, and high temperatures in the mid-70s. Looks like the coolest afternoon we've had in about a month. For tomorrow, we start off in the mid-50s with a mostly clear sky. Mostly sunny skies into the afternoon with highs in the upper 70s. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
If you've recently seen a photo of an older Baker Mayfield fresh off a bender, it's just Bo Bishop. Bishop and Friends.
Weekdays from 9 to noon.
The Fan. Rothman and Ice present In or Out.
Just literally old In and Out.
All right, TLC. A little bit of the old In and Out. Jose Feliciano, you got no complaints there. Go ahead.
All right, so Nick Sirianni has revealed that he's been using ChatGPT to influence some of his motivational speeches because, you know, he's been the coach for the Eagles for a little while now, and sometimes it's hard when you've been giving motivational speeches for so long to get up there with some new material. And so he'll type into ChatGPT, give me a motivational sports story, and he'll be able to draw comparisons from this or that. And so if you were a player in the Eagles locker room and you knew that Nick Sirianni was going up there with ChatGPT inspired material, would that impact your ability to receive the message?
It wouldn't for me, based on the fact that I don't think he's typing into ChatGPT, write my speech for me, write my pep talk. What he's trying to do is come up with an inspiring story that he's not aware of. Like the wrestler born with one leg and from Arizona State or something. Like, that's what he's trying to do. So I think a lot of his players probably would not have heard about that story of something from 15 years ago and how a guy becomes a national champion with one leg. And so I'm okay with it. If you told me that it was discovered that most of his big pregame pep talks are being written by AI, then that would be a little rough.
I agree with you 100%. And when I first saw the headline, that's what I thought. I was like, he's just letting like AI write his speeches for him? No, he's just getting ideas and then coming up with the speech himself. So I agree with you 100%. I don't have a problem with it at all.
Yeah, I don't think it's even a speech. From what I read, he was...
Just motivational tactics?
No. Like, relentless effort, like true sports stories. He wanted a list of, like, give me a great relentless story. And they've got it in the old AI archive, and it spit out a few suggestions.
The problem with that stuff, and my wife was asking me, do you use that like where you're writing when you're writing about Ohio State? I said, no, I never use AI because here's why. I always have to double check it. What's the point of using it if I have to double check it anyway?
Just you mean fact check it?
You have to. They're wrong a lot. Like, I'm trying to think of like a recent example.
Chad's never wrong.
Not
on this show.
Now they'll even have something at the bottom that says, fact check this because AI can get things wrong. It's like, yeah, no crap. So I never use AI for my job. I even think it's weird when I get an email and then there's already like a suggestion of how I should reply from AI. I'm like, okay. That's weird to me. Just that, them suggesting that you could just reply here. And it's actually a decent reply. I'm like, this is weird. Right down to how I like sign my name and everything. Like I do like a unique thing. Sign your name, type your name. You know what I mean? It's very strange. But that's the world we're living in, my man.
He's discovered ChatGPT. It's going to be an important year. He's using everything to his advantage. I mean, it's...
Now, do you think there are coaches out there secretly writing their pregame scripts on ChatGPT?
Like asking them, like ChatGPT. Like,
what should I say for my team tomorrow?
I don't know. I mean, hopefully not. That'd be a pretty weak leader that can't even come up with his own speech. I get coming up with ideas, getting help to come up with like an idea to get you going. But
so let me ask you guys this because I'm unfamiliar. I would just go to Google and type something in, and then it gives you an AI response or on something.
The AI overview.
Is that what it is? Okay, the AI overview. Right. So as we've nicknamed on the show, we've given him a name, ChatGPT. So we've given it a name. So if you wanted to use this, you have to go to that. There's a website
app. But
is it free?
Yeah.
You can pay for an upgraded version. My go-to is Google Gemini, but I have not upgraded to the Gemini Plus or whatever it is. So it's free, but if you want the really good stuff, you got to pay for it.
Yeah, I think the standard version, you can have it create images for you if you tell it what to create.
So let's go. I just went there and it's like, I went to like some deep research tab and then it says, what's on the agenda today? Ask a complex question. Get a full report with sources. Wow. That's amazing.
Are you going to ask ChatGPT how Kevin Warren keeps failing up? Were you guys thrilled as Minnesota Vikings fans when he left to be the Big Ten commissioner? And then where are the Big Ten offices located? In Chicago. Well, you know, suburban Chicago. So the Bears saw how terrible of a job that he did as the Big Ten commissioner. The Bears were like, that's the guy that we need to lead our stadium search. And here they are 3 years later, and it's a disaster. Are they going to be in Hammond? I can't believe that. I'm not buying the Hammond stuff. Are they going to be in Arlington?
Just because they cross state lines doesn't mean...
But it's Hammond, man. Okay, it's like Gary adjacent. This is not the same as the New York teams playing East Rutherford. This is not the same thing as what eventually the Kansas City Chiefs are going to be playing Kansas City, Kansas, right? To me, this is different. It's different. I mean, you know, you're from Chicago.
Yeah, well, listen, I know Hammond Indiana has an NFL team. I get it.
And Hammond's a dump.
Well, if you bring them to the dump, then the dump ceases to exist because they're going to build everything around it.
That's
and
true.
Make it a destination. It's Bears not just going to be a stadium and a sinkhole. It's
Bears spent all this money to you know, buy the land.
Oh, yeah. And the park just.
Yeah, and Arlington. Yeah, and
oh, yeah,
Arlington Heights.
Okay.
Yeah, and the majority of the Bears season ticket holders are from the western, the northern and western suburbs. So you'd be making them drive like all the way to Hammond.
Oh, man. It's a risk. Okay, by the way, this did not work for me. I typed in, like, please give me an inspirational pep talk, sports pep talk, and it said, fail to fetch the template or something. So I don't know. I went to the wrong. It said use ChatGPT for research, but that probably wasn't what I needed to do. I need to bring ideas to life. I really don't know how to do this. I'll ask Sirianni to guide me through it.
You just ask whatever questions you want.
Why don't you just tell me the movie you'd like to see? It doesn't say, it says deep research in ChatGPT. It says try now. And then I did try now and it didn't work.
Anthony Rothman's going to give a speech to who? Young radio aspiring students.
Young broadcasters.
My friend,
future enterprisers.
Actually, I'm going to say
I grossed over $8,000 in one night. I deal in human fulfillment.
Sports media legend Anthony Rothman in Columbus goes from TV to radio seamlessly.
Yes,
seamlessly. I'm not joking.
All right, what do you have? What's happening?
Here's what I'm asking Chad. I said, my friend Anthony is going to speak to students in a sports media class at Ohio State. What should he say?
You just say, my name's Penny.
Here's what Chad said. If Anthony is speaking to college students who want to work in sports media, they'll probably get the most value from practical advice rather than a polished success story. A good talk might look something like this. Number one, your first job probably won't be your dream job. Everyone wants to be on ESPN or calling national games. Most people start covering high school sports, working overnight shifts, running cameras, producing, or writing game recaps. Those jobs teach skills that... Hold on. Those jobs teach skills that bigger jobs require. Two, be someone people want to work with. Sports media is a surprisingly small industry. Be on time, meet deadlines, be prepared, blah, blah, blah. Oh, I got to hit the blah. What is this thing called?
I think they played you off. I think that's what happened. You got the hook.
Number three, learn every part of the business. Four, relationships matter. So, Anthony, if you need to go speak to a class, Chad can write you a script.
I think the chat GPT should also suggest that everybody, when they're looking for a motivational speech, like look up Roger Federer. His speech to the graduating class was an Ivy League school. Was it Dartmouth? I can't remember exactly the school, but
I enjoyed it though.
This is why it's still going viral, like years later, because like Federer at one point was the best player ever, and just because he played in this crazy era, he's been passed by Djokovic. He'll still go down as one of the best players ever. And he had that speech where he said, "I lost 47% of my points." Think about that. The greatest, one of the greatest players ever, lost 47% of his points. Won 53. That's how narrow of a line it is, and that just got through to these students. It's like, you know, don't worry about like if you know you have some failure. You're going to have failures, but just, you know, have more victories than failures, and it's going to work out for you. And I think nobody would have, like, unless you're an absolute tennis diehard and you already did the math, like, Federer, like, won 53% of his points. That's it? You would think, just generally speaking, you'd think, no, you guys are into tennis, so you know. You would think it'd be more like 60-40 or something like that. Mm-hmm. No, there's a thin line.
I'd love to do a deeper dive with ChatGPT on that and ask him what percentage of points did Roger win on his own serve when he was serving. And then the other part I would say in tennis, what separates the good from the great from the Hall of Fame is winning the big points. And so when you're talking about when you have a break point and when you're down a break, tiebreakers, all that stuff matters. And in tennis, it was always, can you win the big point? And I think if you're going to ask for a motivational speech, it would be Matt Foley. I think he would be the one to really scare you straight. And if you don't know who Matt Foley is, you can YouTube that at a later time.
He won 70% of his service points.
Okay, there you go. So he was very difficult to break, and
only 40% of his return points.
And to Anthony's point, he was fantastic in the big points. Roddick, poor Andy Roddick, would play just like unbelievably well. I mean, he couldn't have played any better three different times against Roger at Wimbledon in the finals and lost all of them because Federer would just play a little bit better than him. And I remember thinking Roddick could not have played any better.
Federer beat Roddick 21 out of 24 matches.
Ugh. Poor Andy. At least Andy got the one. By the way, Andy Roddick, rising star in the broadcasting world.
Yes, he is.
You can tell that they're grooming him to be like the next main guy, and he's really good at it. I love it. He's the last American man to win a Grand Slam in 2003. We were so spoiled when I was growing up. I love Pete Sampras now. I didn't even like Pete Sampras because I was an Agassi guy. We had to pick and choose between guys who were like one and two in the world.
Yeah,
like,
that's how good American tennis
like,
was.
Now it's like, right. Is Ben Shelton our best? Mm-hmm. He gets knocked out in the first round of Wimbledon. Taylor's
Fritz.
Jim Courier was a multiple Grand Slam champion, and he was like not even in the conversation about being the best American men's tennis player of his era. Michael Chang won a French Open. I was an Agassi guy, so I didn't like Sampras. I always thought it was cool how Sampras, though, even though he beat my guy, that he went out on top. He won that U.S. Open against Agassi, and I'm done. Walked out, rode off into the sunset. I think he was 29 years old. I thought that was pretty cool. I think Djokovic would have done the same thing if he happened to, and it wasn't even close. Sinner ran him off the court, but if Djokovic would have won Wimbledon, I think he might have done the same thing.
Well, your boy Roddick did marry Brooklyn Decker, so
he's not doing bad in life.
He did all right there as well. No. We'll come back in 2 minutes with our friend Adam Schefter and get all the inside scoop going on in the league. That's in 2 minutes. Rothman engaged.
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door Showroom on Gemini Parkway. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
NFL Playbook with ESPN's Adam Schefter.
Sponsored by the Roofing Guys. For all your roofing, siding, and gutter needs, contact the Roofing Guys at theroofingguys.com.
He's the senior NFL insider for ESPN. He's the one and only Adam Schefter. My man, good to have you. All good. All good. So I want to get your opinion on this, just to get your instincts on it. You saw that the Miami Heat accidentally put out a introductory press conference coming with, for LeBron on Monday. Your gut on that? Somebody jumped the gun? Do they know something and they were getting ahead of it? It was hope and it got out. Like, what is your whole instinct on that today?
A couple of things. First of all, I haven't made any calls. I don't know. We're just hypothesizing in the world of reporting and things showing up on social media. But my guess is that that doesn't just mysteriously happen, that there's usually smoke. Where there's smoke, there's fire. That's number one. Number two, I go back to a text that I got on Tuesday, June 30th at 7:12 p.m., which I'll read to you. And I may have said to you before, you may have asked me the last couple of weeks, I don't remember. But on Tuesday, June 30th, 7:12, the text I got was, heard Bron is coming to the Heat. Just wanted to give you a heads up. You may want to check it out. That was on Tuesday, June 30th. And I told a few people I thought he was going to the Heat based on that text that I got from one particular individual. And so there we go. So I got that text on June 30th. We see that announcement. There's nothing official. Everybody's denying and poo-pooing it. But that's fine. My guess is we'll get an announcement that LeBron is going to the Heat if I had to guess. That's a guess, my guess.
Yeah, we talked about it at the beginning of the show, and yeah, they can say it's a mistake, but it's just there is a lot there. I don't really know how to react to it other than it just, now, my reaction earlier was, would LeBron have given them a week or more of lead time to know about this and for them to feel confident?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I think like right after the WNBA All-Star game or something. Like, I don't know what it is. It's not my beat. It's not my world. But there's a strategy to this, okay? There's a reason that they were allegedly, potentially planning to do this on July 27th. I don't know what that is, but I'm just telling you, like, they didn't just say, like, oh, July 27th. Yeah. Like, yeah, you know, my guess is that there are people that were involved in this, they came up with that day for whatever reason, and now we wait to see how it plays out.
And it makes sense.
Yeah, with the day, putting the date on it.
It makes sense because you wouldn't want to do it on a Friday. You wouldn't want to do it on a weekend. Doing it on a Monday makes a lot of sense. And Adam's hearing this from sources, and then we see the tweet yesterday or the YouTube post. It's all adding up that he's probably going to go to Miami.
Let me ask you this part. Obviously, no way you could reveal or want to reveal, but I would say this. The text that you received on the 30th, how would you categorize that text? Like from someone in the industry, from someone in the basketball world? Like how would you categorize it?
I would just say somebody that's usually plugged into information. I would just say that, okay? Not infallible, but it was a strange text to get, right? Like, I wouldn't expect to be getting a text about LeBron, but I did.
Well, they know you like, love the NBA, and you've been part of it.
By the way, I sent that text to Shams right away. I'm like, hey, just FYI, here it is.
All right, well, now I know the text didn't come from Shams. That's the one thing I do know.
Process of elimination.
Yeah, well, there you
go. All right. Where are you on the timing of Aaron Donald? Could this go into the season? Do you feel like you could?
Yeah. Let's put it this way. He's going to work on his timeline. I don't think he's in any rush. I think his motivation right now is to get into football shape, to see that if he can get back to that form that he's comfortable with. Like, if he can't get there, I don't think he'll come back. But I'm going to bet he can get there because the guy's a beast. And I'm going to bet that he finds himself getting there at his time. And when he's ready, then we'll have a decision.
Adam, what are your sources telling you about C.J. Stroud, both in terms of like why he's regressed since his rookie year a couple years ago? And I know they put the contract extension talks on hold for now, which seems wise. And what you're hearing just about how the Texans feel about him in general.
Oh, I think they want to sign him to an extension. And again, I'm not going to be surprised if at some point before the start of the season they were able to figure out something to get done. I mean, I don't know whether that's in a week, a month, 2 months, but they've been pretty clear that he's their guy. You know, despite the fact that last season did not end the way that anybody wanted there. And it was a playoff disappointment. But I think they're going to want him. I think they're going to look to resign him, and I think eventually they'll figure out a deal.
Talked to the beginning of the show about this camp battle that'll happen between Deshaun Watson and Shedeur Sanders. You know, they draft Taylen Green. They still have Dylan Gabriel. And, you know, there's, my mind tells me, like, they're going to carry all four into the season. I guess, depending on how this season goes, they could, I think, a trade Deshaun Watson at some point if somebody else would want him, if he played well enough.
I don't think he's the guy they trade. I mean, you tell me, who's going to trade for that play, that contract? You tell me.
No, I think you just wait for him to be a free agent and then see how he plays this year. He's got to stay healthy. You know, he's coming off the Achilles as well. But you're right. They probably don't really have a tradable piece, but they're not carrying four, though.
I think Dylan Gabriel would potentially be tradable. Yeah, I do.
Before the season?
I do. Yeah, I think he'd be tradable before the season.
Chef, I got to ask you about Rich Eisen's series. This was SportsCenter. It's awesome. I know you're a frequent guest on his show. You guys were buddies. I've gotten a kick out of that. Have you gotten a chance to watch many of those and just your thoughts on Rich Eisen's, looking back with all these SportsCenter guys?
Yeah, I've watched a couple of them, and he did a great job with it. It's a really captivating series. It's kind of a little bit inside baseball. If you like the TV industry and old-time ESPN SportsCenter days, it's great, great, great. Like, the stories are awesome. I've heard many of them through the years. Doesn't mean it's not great watching now. It's the kind of thing, I guess, you could just kind of binge one after another, after another, after another. I've watched a couple of them. I haven't completed the series, but I look forward to doing that at some point in time.
What have you heard about the Saquon Barkley break-in? The whole family was there when this happened? Was it overnight? What do you know about it?
I just think it's scary, right? This day and age, we've heard of so many break-ins through so many people's, I hope, high-profile people's homes. And, I think burglars, criminals, they know when players are out of town. Now, in this particular case, that's what's, I think, a little bit problematic, is it wasn't like the Eagles were playing a road game in Washington and house then. But we've seen enough of these high-profile burglaries that I think if you're of anybody of note, like, you have to take all the steps possible, Ring cameras and security and whatever it may be, to safeguard your privacy, your belongings, your security. It's very unfortunate. It's troubling. It's disturbing. But it's the day and age we're living in.
I love the NFL draft. I know you do. I know Anthony does. I know Cole does. I couldn't think of anything I'd want to change about the NFL draft. Adam, if you were the commissioner of the NFL, is there anything you would change about the NFL draft?
About the NFL draft. I would have probably been against them taking it on the road, and I would have preferred that they leave it in New York, but they were right. They know more about these things than I do. So I'm not going to do it. I think the first night's a huge thing. Second night is great. Third day is also compelling in its own way. I mean, there are things I would change in the league, but that wouldn't be one of them.
They trimmed down the selection time. I thought that was probably a good move.
Good for fans, not great for TV, but yes.
Mm-hmm. Gives you less time to analyze stuff.
Well, less time for the teams, too. Like, you could be my Vikings in 03 and just let the time run out. That's no good.
You know what? But as much as I hate to admit this, like, we do fancy football drafts in, 90 seconds. Why can't they do it?
Exactly. You should have your draft board right there. Just take the next guy on your list. It's not rocket science.
But it's a made-for-TV event, but they've cut. I mean, that's the way it goes.
Yeah. All right. Good stuff, man. I'm glad we talked today. That was pleasant. And I love your take on the Heat, because you're in the industry where stuff gets leaked, whether it's accidental or not. And so your take was insightful. Thank you.
Yeah, well, we'll see how it plays out. My guess is he's going there. My guess is he knows he's going there. My guess is that they have planned it for that day for a particular reason. And we'll see if they stick to that or not.
Yeah, now they may just change the date just to say
do it on Tuesday.
The thing wasn't true. Like, but yeah, I mean, in spite of it. But all right, we'll keep on it, my man. Have a great afternoon. Thanks for coming on.
Have a great day.
Thanks, Adam Schefter, senior NFL insider. I knew he'd have a take on that. It was even stronger than I thought.
Wow, how about that?
We'll come back and react to that a little bit. And Aaron Rodgers dropping perhaps the ultimate grudge. Rothman.
Two.
It's everyone differently. For Devere Posey and Dane Sanzenbacher, it means sitting around watching sports clips on the internet and arguing about them. Search for Didn't Catch That on YouTube and subscribe.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
Anthony's hidden talent is weaving a movie quote into every conversation. It's mostly not annoying. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
All right, sometimes there are like throwaway questions, and sometimes there are stuff that leads to something. And I'm going to be honest, I fully expected Shefty, who obviously covers the NFL, not the NBA, but he loves the NBA, and he's been a part of some of their broadcasts. So he's fascinated by it. And then this is right in his wheelhouse. This is sourcing or finding out something. This is a massive signing if LeBron, wherever LeBron's going to go. And the Miami Heat are in the mix. They have another chance of kind of, how would you put it, history repeating itself. And getting a big three together in a way. So you put LeBron and Giannis and Bam Adebayo together. The big knock on it would be, what do they have around them? Do they have a total team? Do they have depth? Are all these guys going to stay healthy? Can you manage? Can you do load management enough? Does the talent on the rest of the roster have enough? But that's also making the leap that the most important thing to LeBron James in this decision is picking the one place he's going or can win a title. Maybe he looks at all of these equally. Maybe he thinks, hey, I join anybody, we instantly become a contender. But the story today with the Miami Heat social media department leaking a preparatory headline on a press conference announcing his signing for this Monday, July 27th, they ripped it down. Their reasoning is it was a mistake. Well, so the mistake was you were just hoping this would happen. Somebody in your social media department is just hoping, and so they wanted to get ahead of the hope.
Yeah, there was definitely a mistake. The question was, what did the mistake entail exactly? Was it a mistake that, like, it's happening, and it was a mistake that we put it out there? Which I'm leaning toward that is what happened. Or was it just like, yeah, they were being hopeful? But I tell you what, you're being hopeful. You have the exact date. And then you back this up with what Adam Schefter heard, which we're going to get to. Great job by you, Anthony, with your follow-up question to that as well. That Adam Schefter was told on June 30th, hey, keep an eye on Miami. I think LeBron's going to sign in Miami. You couple that with what happened yesterday or this morning with the accidental post. It sounds to me like they were just getting all of their social media stuff ready and somebody accidentally hit publish. We see it all the time in journalism, where somebody has a pre-written, like, I'm sure there's a million David Gabriel George stories that have already been written. And
about somebody, him coming to Ohio State?
And, you know, probably him going to Tennessee.
Oh, okay.
But, like, let's say there was one that maybe, and sometimes you'll write two stories and have them in your admin unpublished, right? Mm-hmm. You go in there and you hit the wrong one. DGG commits to Ohio State. And even if you take it down, like, almost right away, someone's going to catch it and you're going to have a lot of egg in your face. That happens a lot. I think that is probably what happened here. Something, I know that's not apples to apples, but it's close enough. I bet they were just getting all their social media stuff ready and somebody accidentally made it live.
Yeah, and I'm not going to hold Adam Schefter to this story. Like, I'm not going to hold it to him just because he's leaning into it. More of a possibility or potential that's going to happen than not, because that's what I gathered from our interview, that he feels like this was not, and quote, it was an accident to post it. It wasn't a mistake, if you get my drift on that. Like, it's not, the information is not a mistake.
Right.
It was an accident to put it out.
Right.
Because they're teasing the possibility of LeBron coming back. And so,
like, do we really think, I agree with you 100% there, because the other side of the coin would be you'd have to believe that, like, they just put it out there hoping it would happen with the exact date. Why would you put a date on there?
Well, if you're not going to put it out there, the only way you'd put it out there intentionally, even if it wasn't true, was if some person in the social media department thought, well, this is fun. We'll be the ones to kind of have a self-fulfilling prophecy. Like, we'll... Like, but that's such a risky, dangerous game to play.
You mean like trolling, or just if it happens, yeah, then almost, we'll look good?
Almost like a, yeah, it's kind of like a trolling situation.
Yeah, I mean, that's anything's possible.
We're going to get him, but not from the actual organization.
That's the thing.
You cannot do that.
Especially now, I mean, my gosh, we'll know for sure soon. If he goes to Miami, we'll know exactly what happened. I'm pretty sure that's what happened is... They were just getting all of their social media stuff done ahead of time, and somebody accidentally put it out there. This is interesting.
His agent just said the other day that he's not going to be hurried into anything. That obviously, I mean, I'm not going to take anything Rich Paul says as fact. Right. Like, I'm just not. I mean, he's allowed to hide whatever he wants to, but.
Yeah, agents, like, you know, it's like when people say, oh, yeah, the coach lied at his press conference. Like, there's lying, and then there's. Coaches at press conferences. I don't consider that lying. I don't want my coach up there saying everything that's on his mind. You have to lie a little bit as a coach. You have to lie a little bit as an agent when you're being interviewed. So I think there's different degrees of lies. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, Ryan Day is great to deal with the media. Do you think he gets up there and says everything that's on his mind? Of course not. That would be irresponsible. And when people gave Thad, there's a million other examples. When the Xavier media and the Cincinnati media gave Thad Mata a tough time, because right before he took the Ohio State job, they said, are you definitely going to be at Xavier? He said, my plans are to be at Xavier. What else is he supposed to say? He doesn't have the Ohio State job yet. What if Andy Geiger would have picked somebody else? Then he's got to go crawling back to Xavier with his tail between his legs if he said, yeah, I'm looking for the Ohio State job. What happened with Glenn Mason? He made it clear he wanted the Ohio State job. And then when he didn't get it, he had to go crawling back to Minnesota. And they never, even though he was a successful coach there, they never really got over it. Even though he was an Ohio State grad, he played for Woody. He was an assistant coach here before then. They never got over that.
And left out the best part.
What's that?
That he came to Ohio State the year before and beat them.
Oh, yeah, when Ohio State was ranked
carried
fifth.
Off the field.
Oh, Ohio State was ranked number five. I was there. I remember
talk
that
about
very
an audition.
Well. I thought for sure he was going to get the job.
But that should have sealed it.
And there were a lot of heavy hitters. I'm talking like Archie Griffin, people of that stature. Yeah. When I say heavy hitters, who were backing, and all those guys to this day love Tressel and realize he was the right call, but they were backing Glenn Mason. It took a lot of cojones from Mr. Andy Geiger to pick Tressel when all those guys were saying Glenn Mason. He's like, no, give me the guy that's won four 1AA national championships. And knowing Tressel, he just knocked their socks off in those interviews. I mean, that's the easiest thing in the world to imagine is Tressel coming in there and like, oh my gosh, this is the guy. We love Glenn Mason and everything. And that was definitely the right choice. I didn't think we'd be getting in a Glenn Mason, Jim Tressel conversation. But it's true. Like I'm sure Glenn Mason now, you know, for many years, probably doesn't care now, for many years regretted the fact that he made it so public that he wanted the Ohio State job. Thad Mata did the right thing. That's why, even though I made fun of Nick Saban for saying I'm not going to be the Alabama coach, and then 2 days later, the private plane lands in Tuscaloosa, and he is the Alabama coach. Like, what's he supposed to say at a press conference, though?
So... That year, I've talked about covering that coaching search, and I was literally pulling a Tony Montana unmarked station wagon, fast food on the dashboard, and I was parked with my photographer down the block of Geiger's house.
Ooh.
And I'm going to admit this, I have already, that when he left, we followed. We wanted to see who he was picking up at the airport. And you guys got to remember this, the internet was in its infancy. If it all, like it was, or was it even around? Like, I don't even,
it was around,
but this was not a social media smartphone era.
This is good investigative journalism at Anthony Rothman here.
So we followed him, and he had Tress, and he went to the president at the time was Britt Kerwin. Britt Kerwin at the house in Bexley. And
so he got Tress, and then they went to the president's house.
He was basically getting hired.
Yeah, yep.
And when he came out, there were two people there. It was me and Doug Lascelles from Channel 4. And we got the one-on-one with Tress right there on the sidewalk outside of Brick Kerwin's house.
I vaguely remember this. This is before Anthony and I knew each other. Yeah. I knew of you. You had no idea who I was. But
we were there.
I remember that.
Doug and I were there, and we've always talked about how we were the only ones there, and because that's kind of what
story.
You did. And then later on, years later, I get to the Fan, and Glenn Mason is awesome, and obviously being a big fan of the Buckeyes and being part of it and all the 68 guys, and he used to come to the Memorial and be up on the perch, and
Clay
and I would talk to him.
Yeah.
And Glenn Mason came on when I first got to the Fan, and I was doing that hour at night, whatever it was, the Buckeye show at the time. Glenn Mason came on, and he said to me, we don't have this interview. I don't know why we didn't. It's so long ago now. And he said, you know what, Anthony, I've never admitted this publicly, but that job was mine. That job was mine, and I had to slither back to my team, just like you said. And it was because I remember going over to Ron Mesajowski's house and talking to those guys, that, and they were all big Mason backers.
All of them.
And
yeah,
now,
when
turns
Archie
out,
Griffin wants you, I mean,
yeah.
I mean, good on Andy Geiger. And again, this is nothing against Glenn Mason. Jim Tressel is just, I'm sure Glenn Mason, if you gave him truth serum, would admit that that was the right call to get Jim Tressel. But I give Andy Geiger a ton of credit for making that call.
But the most interesting part to me was in that year in 2000 or whatever, I can't even, that Glenn Mason, and he had a great receiver by the name of Ron Johnson.
Johnson, yeah.
Ron Johnson, audio consultant.
He completely
also in Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Nate Clements.
Yeah. And he
was really good, got torn up that day.
And he comes into the Shoe
yes.
and beats Ohio State. The season before they had to pick the new coach.
And Ohio State was ranked fifth at the time, by the way.
Honestly, it's one of the biggest upsets in coaching history. We'll come back top of the hour with a deep dive. Are you going to play the Schefter sound again? Do you have that?
I can.
Yeah, maybe we will.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it.
We'll do that next. Rothy.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon. I'm Tyler Danberg. The Kansas City Chiefs unveiled the renderings for their new $3 billion dome stadium in Kansas, scheduled to open in 2031. The venue will include a ceiling of all glass panels, and its shape will be similar to Arrowhead Stadium, capacity 70,000. College football, David Gabriel George, the second-ranked running back in next year's class, will choose between Ohio State and Tennessee today at 5:30. Soccer, Crew host New York City FC at 7:30. Columbus 4-7-4, 10th in the East table. Baseball, Clippers visit the St. Paul Saints at 2:07. Rourke Maltrude on the mound for the Clippers. Reds visit the Mariners at 3:40. Brady Singer throws for the Reds. Guardians host the Twins at 6:40. Slade Ciccone starts for Cleveland, tied for first in the AL Central. This update sponsored by Germain Toyota for unbeatable service and sales. Visit Germain Toyota on the corner of I-70 and Bryce Road or online at germaintoyota.net. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Most shows just skim the surface, but Rothman and I feel like the biggest story of the day deserves a closer look. It's time for A Deeper Dive.
Sponsored by Orthopedic One, Central Ohio's most trusted orthopedic practice. Find a physician or location near you at orthopedicone.com.
Final hour of the program. Dave Bidlin for the Iceman today, Rothman and Ice. So it wasn't a big story in my mind until maybe about 10 minutes ago. And who knows? Like I said, I'm not going to pin him down on this. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. But Adam Schefter is leaning into that this wasn't a mistake. It was an accident to put it out there, but the factual part of it is not a mistake, meaning it's accurate. So the question that came up today or last night was, did someone with the Miami Heat leak the LeBron James decision before he could? Now, that's not good. If he is going to pick Miami, he probably still will pick Miami. And I don't think this is going to, he's not going to suddenly say, well, you stole my thunder and now I'm going somewhere else. I doubt that could happen. But the Heat have denied it. And the information about where LeBron will play next year has taken on a life of its own now, because the prediction markets are all over the place. Miami, Cleveland, Golden State, Philadelphia. There's some wild cards in there. But someone with the Heat posted a link to a YouTube stream titled LeBron James Introductory Press Conference, July 27th, 2026. That's Monday. All right. So the fact that they put a date on it makes it more real to you and I. If it just said LeBron's introductory presser, would it still be a story? Yeah. But the fact that they had a date on it, because think about this. If you're in social media in their department and you're just doing this out of hope and fun and hoping he picks you guys, you're probably not putting a date on it.
Right.
Just, you're not.
Exactly.
So the Heat instantly denied it. And ESPN's insider for NBA, Shams Charania, they told him that it was simply their social media team preparing for the, quote, possibility. Well, if it's a possibility, why is there a date attached to it? Of LeBron choosing the Heat, and they accidentally put the link live for a minute. The Heat deny it has any meaning. All right, so they're walking it back. But I think that you and I are on the case when it comes to the date being the smoking gun. Why a date? Why would you think it would be Monday?
And their denial means nothing, because what else would they say? What, they deleted it, and they're not going to steal LeBron's thunder. It was a mistake. They're not going to come out and say, all right, you got us. Yeah, it was real. It's happening on Monday. Of course they're going to say, like, no, we were just doing it just in case it happens. You know, it's a, it was kind of a hopeful thing that accidentally got out there. I'm not buying that at all.
It's been a very tight circle. Rich Paul, his agent, they've kept this pretty tight. And anyone saying they have a source who knows when the announcement is probably going for clicks. But that's what I thought. Until I let off with Adam Schefter today, just, and I really didn't think he'd have a clue on the factual part of it. Where I was going was, he's the number one insider for ESPN, NFL-wise. I just wanted to get his feeling on, like, mistake, where this is, how this happens, does this stuff, in your experience, when this happens, does it usually turn out to be true?
And he loves the NBA. Yeah. You were saying, you were saying, like, Adam loves the NBA. He's done some sideline reporting for ESPN for the NBA. And, you
he'd
know,
be interested
so I'm
in
curious,
it.
You know, to get his take on LeBron. And you said this, like, when we were at the commercial break, and it turned out way better than I thought it would.
Yeah.
And I thought it would be good.
The instincts were somewhat correct, even if this never turns out. And he picks Cleveland or Golden State, then... Guess what, Miami, you're going to get points for that it was a mistake, but it's not going to be a good outcome. What they want to have happen is obviously him pick Miami, and then they can deal with the aftermath of, hey, we lied to you about a mistake. We did know. We did know. But here's a little give and take with Schefter just a few minutes ago. You saw that the Miami Heat accidentally put out a introductory press conference coming with, for LeBron on Monday. Your gut on that? Somebody jumped the gun? Do they know something and they were getting ahead of it? It was hope and it got out. Like, what is your whole instinct on that today?
A couple of things. First of all, I haven't made any calls. I don't know. We're just hypothesizing in the world of reporting and things showing up on social media. But my guess is that that doesn't just mysteriously happen, that there's usually smoke. Where there's smoke, there's fire. That's number one. Number two, I go back to a text that I got on Tuesday, June 30th at 7:12 p.m., which I'll read to you. And I may have said to you before, you may have asked me the last couple of weeks, I don't remember. But on Tuesday, June 30th, 7:12, the text I got was, heard Bron is coming to the Heat. Just wanted to give you a heads up. You may want to check it out. That was on Tuesday, June 30th. And I told a few people I thought he was going to the Heat based on that text that I got from one particular individual. There we go. So I got that text on June 30th. We see that announcement. There's nothing official. Everybody's denying and poo-pooing it. That's fine. My guess is we'll get an announcement that LeBron is going to the Heat if I had to guess. That's a guess, my guess. Mm.
Yeah, we talked about it at the beginning of the show, and yeah, they can say it's a mistake, but it's just too, there is a lot there. I don't really know how to react to it other than it just, now, my reaction earlier was, would LeBron have given them a week or more of lead time to know about this and for them to feel confident?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
he would.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. I think like right after the WNBA All-Star game or something. Like, I don't know what it is. It's not my beat. It's not my world. But there's a strategy to this, okay? There's a reason that they were allegedly potentially planning to do this on July 27th. I don't know what that is, but I'm just telling you, like, they didn't just say, like, oh, July 27th. Yeah. Like, my guess is that there are people that were involved in this. They came up with that day for whatever reason. And now we wait to see how it plays out. By the way, I sent that text to Shams right away. I'm like, hey, just FYI, here it is.
Mm-hmm. I picked up on something in that I didn't pick up on the first time. When he was reading his text, and maybe this was a misread, maybe he's going off memory, but I thought that he was trying to cite it as accurately as possible. But Shefty said the text that he got said LeBron is coming to the Heat. He didn't say going to the Heat.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a source like out of Miami directly.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good point.
Could be.
Yeah, that is an interesting way of.
He's not getting anybody else in any state in America.
Yeah.
Were to refer to LeBron going to the Heat, they would say going, not coming.
Yeah. Well,
that's true.
Yeah.
That's a great, great catch, Cole.
And I followed it up with.
I'm the dumbest one here. So how about
somebody in the industry? That's the part you didn't have was the follow up about the where it came from.
Oh, yeah. I thought that was a great follow up is like, you know, when Anthony, because that was a great follow up, but I thought maybe he'd stonewalled it a little bit but you prefaced it perfectly. You were like, okay, I know you're not.
I didn't know which follow up you meant, to be honest.
I know you're not going to give up your sources, but can you give us like a feel for this source? Is it somebody that's in the NBA or is it just, you know, somebody in the industry? So, you know, I thought it was a great. And his answer was good, too. So I'm sure Cole's going to fire that up eventually.
Because somebody in the information industry.
Well, yes, he did. He said somebody in the information industry.
And he said somebody he trusted.
But it wasn't Shams.
Yeah, and
it wasn't the number one guy
for
ESPN.
We know it wasn't Shams. Yeah, it sounds like, and he said that the person's not infallible, but it's somebody I trust profusely. Yeah. Something to that effect. So.
Guys, the other thing, guys, the text was 3 weeks ago.
He knew the exact date, June 30th. He knew the exact date.
Yeah, it wasn't, hey, I got a text a few weeks ago.
From some
guy.
Like,
he's connecting dots, and it would make sense. Like, if LeBron really knew he was going to Miami 3 weeks ago,
it would be typical
of him to want to stretch this out.
Here's him talking about the source.
Okay.
Let me ask you this, Bart. Obviously, no way you could reveal or want to reveal, but I would say this. The text that you received on the 30th, how would you categorize that text? Like from someone in the industry, from someone in the basketball world? Like how would you categorize it?
I would just say somebody that's usually plugged into information. I would just say that, okay? Not infallible, but it was a strange text to get. Right? Like, I wouldn't expect to be getting a text about LeBron, but I did.
Well, they know you love the NBA, and you...
And then, you know, so on, but...
Very, very, very interesting.
It's somebody that... Yeah.
And his sources are... I mean, I know NFL is obviously his main thing, but, like, again, he's worked in the NBA doing some sideline reporting stuff. His Rolodex, I know I'm showing my age there, has just got to be... The numbers in his phone have got to be crazy. Yeah. So if...
Take your pick, man. It could be a Miami reporter. It could be somebody he knows.
Could be an agent who I know a wise man opined during an off-the-record conversation. It could... Whoever it is, it's somebody he definitely trusts a lot for him to say it like he did. And then for this to happen now with them putting the date out there, I mean, now it's going to be... I'll be shocked if he doesn't pick the Heat,
and
Anthony.
Would they be open to doing one other thing? We'll give you that next, Rothman.
T-Bone and Tybus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus.
What kind of steak?
I got a New York strip, 14 ounce.
Can you put away 14 ounces of steak in one sitting?
What are you who are you talking to?
Yes, I did.
Mornings on the Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We're looking good out there for the rest of the day. Plentiful sunshine, no real mugginess, and high temperatures in the mid-70s. Looks like the coolest afternoon we've had in about a month. For tomorrow, we start off in the mid-50s with a mostly clear sky. Mostly sunny skies into the afternoon with highs in the upper 70s. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
Bo Bishop is a media legend. We have no idea where the other guys came from. Bishop and Friends.
Weekdays from 9 to noon.
The Fan. Rockman and Ice present Pre-Snap Reads.
Sponsored by Dr. Mark Levy. If you're snoring and not sleeping, call Dr. Mark Levy today at 1-800-MORE-SLEEP.
All right, so we're waiting on LeBron and... I don't know if this will speed it up or slow it down, or maybe it'll just be right there on Monday. If you guys had to wager right now, presser Monday, LeBron to Miami. Would you do it?
Even money?
Would you be willing to...
So it's basically Monday happens, or even if it happens Tuesday, I lose the bet. So it has to happen Monday.
It has to happen Monday, and it has to be Miami.
Monday or the field, Cole. Let's think together on this one.
I'm taking the field just because I know that if somebody blew my moment like that, I would... I don't know if I'd change teams. If I was mentally committed to Miami, I'd still go to Miami, but I'm like, I can't do it Monday because now... That's you stole my shine from me.
That's right. You don't want them to be
this is
right.
My news to break. Yeah.
I agree with you. I think if I had to bet, I would bet he is going to go to Miami, but they're not going to do it on Monday, which is stupid. Some junior like media relations person probably made that mistake, and you're going to completely move the press conference, but I bet they will.
Well, it may not be their decision.
Right, LeBron.
It may be LeBron's decision now.
And if LeBron says, don't worry about it, we're doing it Monday. Yeah. I already plan on coming in Monday. We're doing it Monday. Then they'll just do it Monday. But I'm with Cole. If I had to bet, it's close in my book. I'll take the field.
I feel like anybody would be open to bringing Bronny on board if his dad comes in.
Oh,
Bronny's on a guaranteed $2.3 million contract with the Lakers. He's eligible to be traded.
I think it's a requirement to be open to bringing Bronny.
Two-way deal. Yeah, he's not. I mean, the rotation's not going to play a lot with the Lakers, right? And Redick's rotation. I don't.
Do you think Jim Gray is going to lead the press conference?
No, that's a one and done.
Too soon? Was that too?
That's too soon.
It's been not soon enough.
15 years.
Well, here's the other thing.
I was going to say,
could they have a presser?
We brought him a title, so
Could they have a presser with him not even being there?
They could. You mentioned could Miami. I don't think they will, though. Yeah. I don't think they will. This is his last.
Yeah, they'll have a press conference for like arena renovations or something.
This will be like his last, like really, like
yes. They'll have a press conference anyway.
Like his,
they're gonna. I'll tell you what. It may not be LeBron, but we're gonna have a damn press conference.
I mean, I guess it, in theory, it could happen again next year. He could have a good year at the Heat and decide he wants to go to the Cavs next year or whatever. So we could have another situation. Mm-hmm. But in theory. At least in my opinion, this will be the last big like decision for LeBron in his career as far as what team he's going to go to, at least with this much hype around it, which is awesome. At 41, he still has the NBA on hold like this. Good for him. I'll always say Jordan. I'm always going to pick Jordan in the debate. Just want to make that clear, but I got immense respect for LeBron, and he's right there. I got to have my guy MJ a little bit over him.
Yes, he is right there.
But he's right there.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, so the scheduled YouTube live stream was entitled LeBron James Introductory Press Conference, so there's no, like, hey, it was a different press conference. Yeah. There's no, like, hiding from that.
Nope. They'll be thrilled to be right and take the heat, no pun intended, for whatever this day gave them.
They can have a Bronny James Introductory Press Conference and still not be lying.
Said LeBron, though, didn't it?
LeBron James Jr.
That's a good point. That's when I used to set joke about, like, when, you know, they wouldn't let the Reds retire Pete Rose's jersey. They should just retire his son's jersey. Pete Rose Jr.
Right.
Pete Rose Jr. wore the 14, barely played for the Reds. But, yeah, just retire Pete Rose Jr.'s number, but just put Rose 14 out there.
It's not perfect, that roster in Miami. I mean, they need shooters.
Yeah, I mean, Norman Powell went
to the Bulls. Maybe Pat Riley will work his magic on something.
They'll figure out something, but I think that's a big factor here. I think when LeBron looked around at all of his options, who's the best player that he could have played with? It's got to be Giannis, right? You'd take Giannis over, like,
I mean, he MB. Left Luka.
I mean well, yeah, he left Luka, and Steph overall would be. But at this stage of their career, and I know Giannis isn't a spring chicken anymore, but would you guys say right now Giannis is a more valuable player in the NBA than Steph? It's pretty close.
It's just not perimeter oriented, though.
I would.
Giannis.
You would take Steph over Giannis?
No, I said I would take.
Yeah,
I'd
take Giannis. Over Steph. So I think that's probably what was the ultimate deciding factor. I know he likes Miami, of course. Won a couple titles there. LeBron did. Reveres Pat Riley. I know they had a little bit of fallout, but now they're back to good graces, obviously. But I think Giannis might have been like the biggest factor here. And Bam, not just because of his boxing skills. Bam's a pretty talented cat, too.
Mm-hmm. You know, this is the longest he's taken to make a decision, but if you believe the Schefter timeline text that he got, then maybe the decision was made a while ago, and he was theoretically waiting for the World Cup to end and other things to find the perfect window to announce it to get max play on it.
Because that's a great point.
You go back to the previous three free agency periods in 2010, 2014, and 2018, this is technically the longest he's taken, but maybe in his mind, he He's not taking any time. Now, the weird part is that Adam Silver is, like, urging them to hurry it up. They got to finalize the schedule in the first week of August, right?
Yeah, they gotta know where he's going for Christmas Day games, for opening week games. So it sounds like just primetime type stuff.
He's going to delay it more now if Adam Silver wants him to hurry it up.
Well, yeah. Blame the Heat.
He did say that at Fanatics Fest, though, that he can't finalize the schedule until he knows where LeBron's going.
I mean, isn't that the ultimate flex there? Like, for LeBron to say, holding up the league's
schedule.
Travel plans for everybody. Uh-huh.
Pretty cool.
Is Joy Taylor going to reveal another video yelling at this time at LeBron James for not showing up to Heat practice? Like she did Aaron Rodgers with the Steelers.
Yeah, what was that take, by the way, again?
She was like, why isn't Aaron Rodgers showing up to practice? Like, we all know he's going to the Steelers. And, like, he did go to the Steelers, but, like, he wasn't on the team yet. And she was like, go to practice with your team. And he's like, I'm not a member of the Steelers yet.
Yeah, this was... Listen, I'm all for LeBron making his choice the way he wants it. I think... I was just more about the longer you let it go, the more you're teasing other fan bases. And the one that you should care about the most is Cleveland. Don't care about teasing Golden State fans or
Philly.
Like, Minnesota. Don't have to worry about that. But just don't toy with Cleveland fans' hearts. Not that he's doing it intentionally, because he hasn't really said anything. And he hasn't come out public and said, this is my list. And they're all under consideration, but... That's all. I just think if you're not going to pick them, don't toy with it. If you are going to pick them, take as long as you want, because you know that the ultimate reward will be that you're going back to Cleveland and you're going to bookend your career where it all started, the kid from Akron.
And if you know for sure you're not going back there, maybe behind closed doors, behind back channels, tell them, hey, I don't want this out here right now, but I'm going to let you guys know. That way you're not stringing them along. Now, does that help the fans? Unless it gets leaked, the fans might still feel that, like, they're scorned. But this is so much different than last time. Last time, he had never played for a different team. He was on the Cavs. He spurned the Cavs for the Heat. This would not be that. But to your point, you definitely don't want to string Cleveland along and make them think they have a chance if they don't.
Yeah, and not that that's ever going to really matter. I don't think Cavs fans were suddenly going to say, I don't like him anymore. I just think it's unnecessary. That's all. It just... They're forever grateful that he delivered the title. And by the way, that's why they want you back so badly. They probably because you can play still. That's number one. Number two, it just feels right that you would end it if you're still playing at 41-42. And they were so close last year outside the Knicks taking them apart a little bit, but they blew the first game. That might have changed
that
the series.
That changed everything.
It would have changed it a little bit for sure.
For sure.
I don't know if they win the series, but it would have changed the mentality of it. But... Yeah,
with no dog in the fight, I wish he would have went back to Cleveland. I think that would have been the best thing. Well, it may still happen.
You've been convinced today.
If I was on one of the, well, now I'm sure the odds are crazy. If I was on Kalshi or one of the prediction markets, I would definitely be on the Heat right now. I don't trust those prediction markets, though. There's all kinds of evidence out there with the insider trading. This is one I might jump on, though. Yeah, I'm pretty convinced. When you add those two things together, you know, the social media... mistake, and then Adam Schefter hearing from a source unprompted that LeBron James is coming to Miami. Not that, hey, there's a chance LeBron might be considering the Heat. And this is one guy, and we don't know who it is, but somebody that Adam Schefter trusts texts him out of the blue to say LeBron is coming to Miami. And then a couple weeks after that, this happens with the exact date being out there, LeBron James introductory press conference. I'll be shocked now, Anthony, if he's not a Miami Heat, but I hope I'm wrong. I hope he goes with the Cavs. I think that'd be great.
It's a source or a text that Schefter trusts enough to mention it publicly. Not
you didn't
the guy,
bring it up, right? You didn't not, even say, do you have any sources telling you anything?
Not the guy, right. But he was more than willing to volunteer it, which, and it wouldn't be him being wrong, but he would be associated with something that is being packaged up as being believable, trustworthy.
And he also added, I think he's going to be playing for the Miami Heat. Schefter did add that.
Said,
yeah.
It's my guess.
Yeah.
He added the word guess
my
twice.
Guess. Yeah. And he's a stuff like that. He's conservative because he doesn't want people to take his stuff out of context and plaster it in headlines. Like he's pretty conservative. So for him to say that, spoke volumes to me.
Maybe his new contract has some marching orders on being more in the prediction area, you know? Give your opinion more. Who knows? Come back in 2 minutes. And is there even more pressure on this quarterback this year? Rothman.org.
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door Showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Anthony can follow direction very well as long as he first prints out MapQuest. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
Big game coming. You guys know what game I'm talking about. That would be September 12th. At Texas. And everything you hear, that Texas may actually have the most loaded roster in the nation.
It's a gauntlet.
And they're being led by Arch Manning. And he was overhyped, but I don't think to a spot, I don't think it was his fault. I think it's inherently he's going to have pressure of who he is, who he plays for, who his uncles are, and the fact that he's pretty damn good. And he probably played a little better than people gave him credit for last year, especially at the end. And he's a dual threat guy, and now he's got weapons, and he gets them at home. So Arch Manning is probably the one that has the most pressure on him going into next season. Am I wrong?
You are not wrong. No, because I thought he vastly underachieved compared to preseason expectations last year. He was the favorite to win the Heisman, be the number one pick of the draft. And to your point, he did turn it on the second half of the year. Looked more like what he was expected to look like, but still wasn't even the guy that he was billed to be. I just can't get those first 6 to 8 games out of my mind, though. I mean, he looked lost against Ohio State, which is understandable. You're on the road playing against the number one defense in the country. It turned out to be the number one defense in the country. We didn't know necessarily at the time. Matt Patricia is a wizard out there. They had, NFL draft picks all over the defense. That's almost understandable. It's in the opener, all that. But then, like, at Kentucky, playing it, you had to take Kentucky, a very, very mediocre Kentucky team, I'm being kind. Had to take them to overtime to beat them. Mississippi State was trash last year. They barely beat Mississippi State. He struggled. To answer your question, yeah, I think there's definitely more pressure on Arch than Julian. Although the Julian situation, saying it's very interesting because opinions are all over the map with him. You have a guy like Phil Steele who says he's the number one quarterback in the nation. ESPN just did a piece the other day, The Athletic, they did their tiers. They ranked all 138 quarterbacks in order, the projected starters of the FBS. They went 1 through 138 in order. They had Julian saying 5th. So kind of in the middle of what I'm hearing. Todd McShay has him like 9th or 10th. So it's interesting with Julian. A lot of people are putting too much emphasis, in my opinion, on the last two games. But then again, their regular season, looking back, was not a difficult slate. I tend to think Julian Sain's going to have a huge year this year. Just the fact that he was a Heisman finalist as a redshirt freshman speaks a lot to me. Opinions are all over the map with Julian. So it's not like he doesn't have pressure on him. And a lot of people are wondering things like, is he a game manager or is he a true difference maker? I tend to think it's more the latter, but I understand what people are saying. The Ohio State offense is a well-oiled machine. You got, Jeremiah Smith that you're throwing to. Last year you had Carnell Tate, number 4 pick of the draft, first receiver off the board. I get all that. So there is pressure on Julian, but to me, there's clearly more pressure on Arch. I also agree with another thing you said. I don't fault Arch for any of this. In fact, when I've seen him interviewed, I've been impressed. He comes across very mature and doesn't come across like he's entitled, which he would have every reason to come across like he's entitled. He's a Manning. He's from the royal football family. Yeah. He doesn't act like that. He even said last year at SEC Media Days, he's like, listen, I don't deserve any of this. I haven't proven anything. And he went over the first 6 to 8 games and showed why he hadn't proven anything. No, but he's a good kid. He's a good kid. He seems well-adjusted. So we'll see what happens. Overall, I'll be rooting for him this year, just not on September 12th.
Yeah, I think he's certainly going to develop. I don't think he's a bust. I don't think he's a guy that's not going to turn out to be an NFL quarterback. I think that he's got a leg up on Julian probably in that category. I mean, Julian's not prototypical. He's not How tall is Arch? Is he
6'4", 6'3"?
I was going to say 6'4", 6'5".
He's 6'4". He does not throw well on the run. That's the biggest thing with him. He really struggles. Even if he doesn't have pressure, if he's rolling to his right or his left, which is obviously tougher as a right-handed quarterback, he really struggles throwing on the run. Julian doesn't have ideal height, but he's not as short as people think. Ohio State, as you know, they do, and this is rare with rosters, whether it's basketball, football, name a sport, where they do a very good job of getting the height and weight accurate. These guys go to the combine, and a lot of times Ohio State has them shorter than what they really are. For a while, they listed Sonny Styles at 6'4". I'd be like, there's no way Sonny Styles is 6'4". I can't call myself 6'3 if he's 6'4". And then he goes to the combine, and he measures at 6'5". So when people say, is Julian really 6'1"? If anything, I think he's like 6'1.5", 6'2" with shoes. He certainly is 6'1". So it's not like we're talking about like a 5'10 quarterback here. No. But to your point, he's not 6'4". Like he's not, doesn't have prototypical size, but he's got things you can't teach, like his quick release and his accuracy. He's got to do a better job of processing this year, and he's got to do a better job. I think a lot of this, Anthony, is Ryan Day coaching it out of his quarterbacks, but Julian's got to do a better job of picking up cheap first downs when he can. I'm not talking about, I don't want to get blown up by a linebacker. If you can get 10 yards and get out of bounds or slide, do it. Even if it's 5 yards, if it's first down, instead of throwing the ball away or whatever, get those 5 yards. You'd much rather have 2nd and 5 than 2nd and 10. He just didn't do that nearly enough. Similar to what, I almost hate saying this, Anthony, similar to what Carson Beck did against Ohio State. Carson Beck's not a running quarterback. He picked up several key first downs and just, you know, kept drives going with his legs. I mean, Julian's forte is always going to be his accuracy and his passing ability, but just, I'm talking like once, twice, three times a game. Give me some cheap yards, because he did not do that last year.
He was a guy who was a young quarterback, and all young quarterbacks, if they're going to lean on something, usually lean on not going through their progressions if someone's not open, and they take off. It's not his instincts. He's not a true speedster. He can run. He's athletic enough. But I think this is okay in his evolution, that he wasn't just a takeoff quarterback last year. I agree with you. I think it's situational. It's easy to say here. It's easy to say when you're watching a game on when a quarterback should or shouldn't take off. You're not seeing their exact field of view either. You don't know what they're feeling at the time. You also don't know the play call. You don't know the route. You don't know what he's waiting to develop. We don't know that. But I'm with you on that. That may be the one part of his arsenal that has to get better this year, is to be a leader in that area, to know the situation, and to keep a drive alive, however you can do it. He did it in Michigan. He was running.
He picked up a big first down. You're absolutely right. I'm talking more like what Joe Burrow does. You know, I always use that example. Is Joe Burrow a running quarterback? No. Does he pick up two or three cheap first downs every game pretty much with his legs? Yeah. Yeah, he just finds ways or keeps plays alive, or it looks like he's going to get sacked and makes a play downfield. Yeah, Julian needs to get better at that. But I do like the fact that he's not looking like, as you pointed out, a lot of young quarterbacks. They get pressured and boom, like they get the heck out of Dodge. Yeah. He's like, no, I'm going to stay in here. I'm going to do what I've taught. I mean, he's been trained to do this from a very young age. I mean, his older brother is a quarterback, played at Penn, is actually playing here in Columbus as a third string quarterback for the Aviators. I mean, he's been trained from a young age from his dad and some of his trainers, and it's not quite a Todd Marinovich type thing. One of the great things about sports is we'll find out, right? We all have our opinions, and we're going to find out soon enough. I think Julian Sayin is going to have a huge year this year. I don't know if he's going to win the Heisman, but I think he'll be in New York again. And I think there are naysayers out there. Like I would say Todd McShay. I think Todd does a good job, works hard. I think he's way off on his assessment with Julian Sayin, way off. Is Phil Steele right that he's the number one quarterback? Maybe. I would tend to lean a lot more towards what Phil Steele is saying than Todd McShay, because I just know what I saw last year, and I know the way the last two games ended, but we know that wasn't all on Julian. It certainly was partially on Julian. A lot of it was on the offensive line, and I think the coaching, you know, the offensive staff was kind of in disarray at the time with Hartline leaving and everything like that. So there was a multitude of factors. Definitely was partially on Julian, but he had a wonderful, wonderful regular season. He was the Heisman favorite at one point, and if they would have beat Indiana in the Big Ten championship game, he probably would have won the Heisman.
Yeah, that's always that argument beforehand on, I think it's sometimes a bad tiebreaker on who wins the game.
Right.
It's an individual award, and it's the ultimate individual award. It was who, over the body of work, had a better season. Now, they were both fairly equal going in, so I understand why they wanted to use the Big Ten Championship game as a pseudo tiebreaker, but it really comes down to the individual. And then is that individual on a better team? Does he have better weapons? Does he have a better defense? Is he getting more at-bats? How'd the game go? Like, if Ohio State would have recovered a fumble inside the red zone, they turned that into a quick touchdown. Does he get credit for that, or is the defense? Like, honestly, when people are saying, like, whoever wins the game should win the Heisman, I'm like, that honestly is wrong.
It's because they came in, as you mentioned. They were the two betting favorites. Mendoza was the favorite, and Julian was number two. So it was like, it did seem like, unless Mendoza had a great game and Saiyan completely stunk and Ohio State won, then Mendoza probably still would have got it. But like, if it was somewhat equal and Ohio State won that game, Saiyan probably would have won the Heisman.
Probably so.
Because he came in so close.
It would have been difficult to split the hairs, and they would have used the victory leading the team to a conference title. We'll come back. Tell the Truth is next. Rothman and Ochs.
Think you know Buckeye football? These two say, hold my beer.
The Beat with Austin and Berm.
Sponsored by the Waterworks.
Daily on the Fan's YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Your home of the Buckeyes, the Fan.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Federal Elite Heating and Cooling and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
Tell the Truth with Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by McDaniel GM Superstore. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive.
All right, TLC, let me start with one here. Do you believe this? Clutch Sports is attempting to get Anthony Davis traded to the Warriors or the Cavs so he can team up with LeBron James.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So they would trade Jared Allen then. The Cavs would. They would trade him. And somebody else. And somebody else. I don't know. And try to get Anthony Davis. So, this feels...
He still got his fastball, man. Age 41. Is it 41 or is he older than that? I don't even know.
I was saying 41. I could be wrong, though.
Yeah, I will say 41 or 40. Let me in his early 40s. Mm-hmm. He can still go anywhere and shake up the entire roster to his liking.
In late December.
Impressive.
Right, so he is 41. Okay.
All right. So we know what he could do. But I don't know if anybody's showing interest in Anthony Davis.
Yeah, with all the injuries, I mean, that's his career has just plummeted quickly.
I mean, if you thought it'd be easy to get the Cavs to trade for him, that hasn't happened. And that may be another reason why LeBron would be leaning Miami. They don't have to trade for Anthony Davis.
And does that really move the meter that much? I mean, it's crazy to say about AD, but we're talking about current day AD. This version of AD, not 5 years ago, not 10 years ago, this version of AD that seems very broken down. Now, he's relatively young enough where he could have a healthy year and still be a very important piece on a championship team. I would just bet against it. And Giannis has had some injury issues in recent years, too. But I feel like LeBron is thinking, like, that's his best chance. And you also have Bam down there, too. And keep in mind, LeBron and Bam were on the Olympic team together as well. We know how that has gone in the past with LeBron and his Olympic team. Unfortunately, for the one thing I didn't like about the Americans winning the gold medal in hockey this year, I didn't know it at the time, was everybody on the team then wanting to at least explore a trade possibility, right, Zach? Mm. No, but I'm still glad the USA obviously won that. We were live on the air when that happened on Sunday. We were doing On the Money. We were live. It was right. We had like 5 minutes left in the show when they scored the golden goal. It was awesome being on the air for that. So we'll see. LeBron holding the NBA up, but my money is on the Heat big time, Anthony. Big time.
Yeah, I think it was more the Jackets that wanted to explore the golden chip and see what they could get for it.
Well, they did. They made a trade.
Apparently they did. And no one's asked, why was that necessary if you didn't want to...
Right. Everything's fine. Yeah. Well, you completed a trade. I heard somebody compare it to, oh, that was similar to what Joe Burrow did. That's all it was. Zach was trying to do what Joe Burrow did, like wake the front office up. And I'm like, the Bengals didn't complete a trade of Joe Burrow that he had to then like reject. Like, this was taken to the next level.
The team in Miami has Giannis, Bam. They'd have role guys they can put around it. They got Wiggins, Damian Mitchell, Bobby Portis, Tim Hardaway Jr. I mean, it's...
They lost Norman Powell to the Bulls. They would have loved to kept him, but the Bulls had plenty of cap space, and they maybe overpaid a little bit, but I think that was a good move by the Bulls.
He wants to play for Spoelstra. Who knows? But it's still ongoing. But anyway, that's the latest in that maybe, like you said, they're trying to throw everybody off the scent and keep these teams in play. But anybody's guess at this point still. But I come back to what we both experienced today with Schefter. Like, I just don't know if he'd want to share something, even though he certainly didn't make it a fact. I just don't know.
Especially unprompted, Anthony. It'd be one thing if you said something like, are you hearing from any sources anything? I know it's NBA and not NFL, but you're well-connected. Are you hearing anything? And then he said what he said. That would still be very notable to me. The fact that you didn't...
He wasn't asked
if like he heard anything from his sources. He just said this. There's two things. And he said, you know, his first thought, and then he said, and by the way, on June 30th, I got this text.
I think he finds it fun, though. Really thought, there's not as much repercussion, though, with him sharing this and it not happening if he heard something. You know what I mean? There's just not the same as if it was an NFL story. So maybe he is leaning into, hey, I'm following the soap opera along with you guys.
And he's not the one reporting it.
That's right.
Like, he's reporting what just a text that he got from one guy. So, but that to me, coupled with the announcement getting leaked, so to speak, that leads me to believe that that LeBron's going to be back in Miami.
All right, TLC, take us home.
AR, this is just for you. This is a layup. Does the disclaimer, my tweets are my own and do not reflect the views of my employer, grant you immunity to tweet whatever you want?
Well, those are two things, right? They don't represent my views or my employer's views. And you just retweet it?
No.
You mean that it's not an endorsement, necessarily?
We talk about this all the time. In your Twitter bio.
Yeah, so if somebody puts, like, you know, retweets are not endorsements and all this, and they do not reflect my employers, that doesn't mean you can, like, I shouldn't answer for you. Go ahead.
It's absolutely an endorsement of some kind, right?
He's saying...
I don't know what the confusion is.
Well, it has a biasness to it. I guess I need an example. Like, what are we talking about here?
You go on these rants all the time about how people think that they're bulletproof on Twitter just because they say, my tweets are my own. I was trying to give you a layup.
Yeah, I mean, good luck with that. No one actually do this. If you want to test this out,
I think we're on the same
side.
Put
on your Twitter feed that, you know, these does not reflect the views of my company and my tweets are my own. Retweets are not endorsements. Then put something stupid on there and see if you get fired, because you will.
That's what I'm saying to you. I'm answering it the way you thought I was going to, which is, of course, it's an endorsement. Doesn't make you bulletproof. Like, you can't just put that out there as a disclaimer. That allows you, like, to freelance anything and...
Right, all of a sudden, like, you're, like, retweeting something racist, and, like, but you think you're in the clear because you said retweets are not endorsements? Think again.
Nice try.
Yeah. It's... Let me give you...
Twitter.
All right, go ahead.
And here is how Carl Ravich's career ended at ESPN. Mm. Somebody tweeted at Joe Buck and said, at Buck, how about you try to be impartial while announcing the game? Joe Buck quote tweeted and said, just so I can sleep tonight, what game do you think I'm calling at the moment? The Phillies game on ESPN? I think I'm having a hell of a game right now. You don't? So that person meant to tweet at Carl Ravich. Joe Buck playing along with the game is like, I'm sitting at home right now doing nothing. I'm not calling whatever game you're upset about the announcer being too partial to one side. The next day, Carl Ravich is unemployed at ESPN. So that's how his tenure ends.
Ugh. That's almost Joe Buck
getting slandered for Carl Ravage's bias.
Ryan Clark getting fired during the show might take the cake. I understand why they had to do it, but still.
Dave, good to have you in as always, man.
Always good, Anthony.
Coming up on Common Man and Timmy, Nicole Sheeran stops in at 3:30, Jeff Rimmer at 5:30. Keep it locked here right on